Wednesday, August 27th, 2014. I will call the Dallas City Council agenda meeting to order. If our City Council people could take their seats, thank you. We will begin with our invocation by the Minister for the Kalachandi Hare Krishna Temple, Chandra Das. Minister Das was born and raised in Hawaii and later relocated to Dallas. It's great to have you here. He has studied the scriptures of the East and became a monk at the age of 19. He told me he's not a monk anymore because now he's married and has a family. He has studied in India and teaches regularly at various colleges, radio stations, temples, churches, and high school. Minister Das, thank you for being here. And Mr. Griggs will then lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you. All rise. No, you go first.
Oh, okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Jnanatim Randasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurmitam Yena Tasmai Shigre Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Sari Ghora Bhakta Vinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In the ancient Bhagavad Gita, spoken 5,000 years ago, Shri Krishna, who is understood as the Supreme Lord, same Lord of Abraham, Muhammad, and Arjuna, spoke these most intelligent words. O son of Kunti, I am the taste of water, the light of the sun and the moon, the syllable Om in the Vedic mantras. I am the sound in ether and the ability in man. So this last part is very important for our work here today, that if we can realize that whatever abilities that we have, these are all coming by the blessings of the Supreme Lord. And if we have this understanding, we can develop humility, and thus we can do everything for His satisfaction. Om Tat Sat Iti. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Mr. Griggs.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Good morning to all. We will begin with our morning speakers.
We have five speakers registered for the morning. We have Tony Barino, Carol Brewer, Jerry Nichols, Mary Spencer, and Donna K. Bush. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks will be removed from this room for the session of the City Council meeting. Individuals will still need to state their name and address for the record when they come up to the podium. You are allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please stay to your time and allow the next individual their turn. Your comments need to be addressed to Mayor Rawlings. Your first speaker is Tony Barino.
Mr. Walsh, would you or someone? Oh, there's Mr. Barino. Okay, thank you. Good. Okay, nice one.
You may proceed.
Please.
My name is Tony Barino. I am here today representing the TECO Theatrical Production Board of Directors. Mayor Rawlings and the entire City Council, I appreciate the opportunity to address you today. If I could have the supporters of TECO rise, please. TECO has always conducted itself in an ethical and fiscally responsible manner. We have always been transparent with our donors, sponsors, patrons, and entities that have supported us. In 2007, we were the recipient of the Financial Excellence in Art Awards, which recognized only three arts organizations that demonstrated exemplary management of their financial resources. The entire Dallas community has benefited from our efforts. It is with this backdrop that we are very concerned and disturbed about the recent discussions at City Hall regarding repayment of funds to HUD. Throughout these discussions, TECO has been unfairly cast as an organization that operated irresponsibly and unethically in the spending of funds supplied by HUD. Let the record show that community block development funds are administered through a request for proposal. We responded to the request for proposal with a detailed description of our program and a budget. Our program proposal was submitted, approved, and routinely audited by the City of Dallas. You have a copy of that audit that states we did not identify any non-compliance issue. There needs to be a clear understanding that HUD may have declared certain expenses ineligible, but they did not deem TECO's program ineligible, nor did they cite TECO for any illegal activity. Ineligible does not mean illegal. We, the TECO Board of Directors, stand along with Teresa Wash. We will continue to operate our theater ethically while being fiscally responsible and with the clearest degree of transparency. We take issue with anyone who thinks we operate otherwise. Let us be clear. We are not above being questioned. We expect to be accountable for every dollar we receive, no matter what the source. We welcome the opportunity to answer any and all questions. We respectfully ask this City Council to clearly and publicly let the citizens of Dallas know that TECO is in good standing with the City of Dallas. In closing, the TECO Board of Directors would like to extend an invitation to you, Mayor Rawlins, and the entire City Council, particularly the Chair of Arts, Culture, and Libraries, to come by our theater, see who we are, what we do, and examine our records. Mayor Rawlins, I would ask, I appreciate that. Appreciate the time and the consideration. Thank you, City Council.
Thank you, and I'm sorry I haven't been by, and I will. I'll take you up on your invitation.
We would love to have you. I don't know if it's appropriate, but
have you given the invitation, and people will take it up, okay?
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Barino. Mr. Carroll, I think you wanted to say something.
Thank you, Mayor. And let me say to you, Ms. Barino, and to Teresa, and to Tico, and to Al, and to everyone representing. One, Mayor, when certain things are said and are printed, as we, the council, have spoke about, it goes a long way, and it's very difficult to erase. When we speak, we first should speak with all of the facts. I was reading an email yesterday, and there's some jive turkey out here named Kay who refused to put his name on the blog. But he writes to my blog, and he knows whom he is writing to. But whomever he is, I invite him to put his real name out there instead of putting out false innuendos and lies as it relate to the good things that we are doing and maligning good people. Teresa, as I spoke a couple of weeks ago, she did not have to be here in Dallas. She took her own money and she chose to move from Atlanta to come here and to open up a theater with her own money without asking the City of Dallas for not one dime. When we look at cultural arts, and you all have heard me speak of my support for the arts, and arts to me is A-R-T-S, arts. But yet, in the playing field of arts, under our current organizational structure, there seems to be certain arts that are elevated and certain arts that are not. Arts should be art for everyone. I support arts because art is great for everyone all over the city. Big, small, it's arts. That also goes for Teatro. Is that the name of the?
Yes.
Okay, for Teatro. I want to make sure that we have that as well. When we look at it, as I spoke and I said, we're tired of begging. They should not have to, the small arts groups should not have to come asking and pleading for support of $50,000 or $100,000 when we're giving other arts groups millions. I support all of the arts. I want you to know that. But we must find a more level playing field to spread it for everybody. Everyone is not going to be just that big shining star that has to go to Harvard. We have some great people. Barbara Jordan. She graduated from Texas Southern University. Someone that's on ABC Good Morning America. Michael Strahan. He graduated from Texas Southern University. He did not go to the bigger school. So you don't have to just support all the big arts, because you got some great little bitty people that can do great things and be great leaders in our country. I want to say to you, Teresa, thank you for choosing Dallas. That's number one. Thank you, Al, for making sure that you support your wife and the project that you do. Al is my former partner in when we were doing the football games and promotions together. So I want Mr. K to understand that, because he said that in yesterday that I'd given my partner $500,000 of HUD money. Such a lie. I mean, Jesus Christ. But at the end of the day, though, Mayor, I understand it, Mayor, but this is very, very sensitive, because we're making a position here and a true statement of support. We want to make sure that we are supportive of the efforts that everyone is doing, and that we do not malign people, especially people that have made a commitment here. I want to thank you personally and publicly for all that you've done for these children and all that you will continue to do. The programs that you do, the invitation, Mr. Tony, that you've given out, folks should come and see. The things that you all do after hours, the things that help us bring down and involve good people and make good citizens, those are the hours that are not counted, that go a long way, that you're not asking for. And we're going to continue to support you here. I'm going to stop now because Mr. Atkins is going to say a few things. But I want you to know where I am. And I want you all to know that we welcome you. And this city will continue to embrace and support TECO.
Thank you, Mr. Caraway. Mr. Atkins.
Thank you, Mr. Caraway. Thank you, Mayor. Also, thank you, Wash and Teresa. You know, it's great to have a great opportunity to speak about Al and TECO. You've never been there on Tyler Street. You're missing a big opportunity to go and really see what they do at that small theater. But also what a thing they do with all the children and the kids is it's good to have someone who give back to the community. I remember when they first got there, they did not ask the city for any money to remodel their facility. I think that the reason why they are here today is sometimes, like Ms. Carway said, sometimes we use words and sometimes we say things and then we do not offer an apology. I want to ask Joyce Apology just to come up, Mayor, just for a brief, because I think if the press is a news media, you know, took something the wrong way, I'm going to be the first one to apologize for TECO for the information, misinformation was laid out there. And I think there is misinformation laid out there, and the reason why the information laid out there is also with funding that we fund TECO and things that we do. And when we do have nonprofit come to the city of Dallas and we give taxpayer money to that nonprofit, and when someone feel like something is not above board, there should be an explanation for that. If something is not wrong, if we do not explain that, Mayor and the council member, we are doing a wrong justice to the community, to the business world. Joyette, could you just briefly tell us with HUD and TECO, when they had the audit, what happened? Would they do anything wrong? Did the city down do anything wrong? So the people in the public knew what happened and why they are here today.
Well, as the gentleman just explained, really what it boiled down to be short, is just a disagreement on the eligibility of the expense. It was an administrative expense, and we had previously monitored the spending, and we had not found any discrepancies until HUD questioned it, and HUD's decision prevailed.
And so based on what they did, they were following the city Dallas rules and outline guidance. We had an audit for many, many years. They followed the accounting procedure with audit, right?
We had not found any any errors previously. And again, I think it boiled down to a disagreement on the eligibility of the funds.
So therefore, they're in good standing with the City of Dallas. There is no wrong done. Anything, right? Is that correct?
We did not find any. We had not found anything in our previous monitoring. Again, it was just a disagreement on whether the expense was eligible.
Okay. And with that, Al and Teresa, I want to personally apologize. You're from the City of Dallas for the hardship that you went through with the press, and I hope the press will print the correct statement today. Thank you very much, Mayor.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins, and thank you, Mr. Brino, for coming down.
Thank you.
Next speaker.
Your next speaker, Carol Brewer. Ms. Brewer will be followed by Jerry Nichols, Mary Spencer, and Donna K. Bush.
Mayor Rawlings and City Council, my name is Carol Brewer. I reside at 9834 County Cork Drive, Dallas, Texas, 75218. That's District 9 with Sheffy. I don't really have anything prepared to say. I am part of a grassroots movement. It's called We Care About DAS, and we have thousands of Facebook followers and a petition with over 13,000 signatures that are in support of full funding for Dallas Animal Services. And most recently, we learned about Mr. Griggs's budget amendments, and we would also like to encourage everyone on the council to support Mr. Griggs's budget amendments, which would divert money to DAS along with other city services and programs. But and most importantly, what I wanted to do today was to share once again the economic impact that Dallas Animal Services has to our community and will continue to have with our pet adoptions and almost $6.5 million a year. That's it.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is Jerry Nichols. Mr. Nichols will be followed by Mary Spencer and Donna K. Bush.
Good morning, Mayor Rawlings and Mr. Gonzalez and members of the City Council. I am Jerry Nichols, and I'm here speaking on behalf of the Age Council of the Senior Source, located at 3910 Harry Hines Boulevard. And we would like to make the following recommendations concerning the 2014 and 15 general revenue budget. We recommend that the budget include $200,000 for dental care. We realize that the budget already has $100,000, but this is does not come close to helping all of the seniors who are living on very limited incomes. Many of them are faced with dental expenditures that are very high. For example, crowns and bridges and dentures. And as you probably know, Medicare and Medicaid do not pay for dental care. So a lot of our seniors, they just have all of their teeth pulled. And without teeth, you can imagine how difficult it may be to eat nutritionally, and so their health suffers. We also recommend that the budget include $80,000 for additional staffing for the City of Dallas Senior Services Program. They used to have 7 staff members, and now they've got 3, and they are swamped by seniors calling for emergency kinds of help, such as medical assistance and food and transportation and elder abuse and caregiver needs and financial fraud, credit counseling, things like house repair and utility assistance. I could go on and on. The staffers connect these senior callers to people who can help them, but because they are so understaffed, many times the callers are just put on hold. We also recommend increased senior programming for all of our recreation centers. We do appreciate the efforts that have already been made, but we do believe that more could be done. And let's just remember that when our seniors prosper, our community prospers. We also would recommend that $200,000 be added to the city budget for utility assistance. Several years ago, the state established a special fund for utility assistance called Light Up Texas. And by the end of this summer, 85% of that fund will have been spent. And by next summer, 2015, the remaining 15% will be gone, and Light Up Texas will no longer exist. If we will just add $200,000 to the budget, we can help seniors. We can protect them from the terrible heat in the summer and the freezing cold in the winter. Thank you for being committed to helping our seniors.
Thank you, Mr. Nichols, for being here. Mr. Carraway?
Yes, Mr. Nichols. Mr. Nichols. Come back, Mr. Nichols, just for just a quick moment. Mayor, I'm going to be pretty quick.
I'm sorry. That was disrespectful to walk away.
No, Mr. Nichols, you're just fine. You're a senior. We're supposed to respect our seniors, all right? Let me just ask you, how long have you been in Dallas?
I have been in Dallas County ever since 1980.
Okay. And most seniors, as my parents were born in 1929. Okay.
That's not far from me.
Okay. and they both graduated from Lincoln High School. Let me tell you where I'm going with this, and Mayor, and to the council. Dallas is a great city. And for the seniors that have been here all their lives and those that are here now, forever the length of time, everything that we have accomplished here in Dallas to make Dallas a great city, Mayor, the seniors, they voted for it. They voted for every bond project. They voted for every recreation center. They voted for everything that has made Dallas the great city that it is today. But now, when they become seniors and they're talking about health care and dental and things and transportation, as what you've said, I dare us not to turn our back on the seniors. Because each and every one of us sitting around this horseshoe right now, we're just a few years away from being in that senior bracket. Everyone sitting here, what Mr. Nichols has just spoke about, it's going to be in front of us. Our teeth are going to fall out. We want to eat steak just like everybody else would like to eat a steak. We have a responsibility to pay the seniors back for the growth that they've done and the commitment that they've had in contributing to the beautification and the livelihood of our city. So, AC, and to the council that will be here, I'm only suggesting and asking that on the next budget that's coming up, to include this budget, but on the next budget, it becomes a priority that we deal with seniors, because they're absolutely correct. They paid the price to get us to where we are, and if they're just asking for $1 million extra, find it. We need to find it and make sure that we dedicate X number of dollars to seniors for all of the things that they've done. It's not fair for them to be builders of Dallas, and then we put them on the back burner, and they have to come down here to deal with this. I just want to say that to you. Thank you, and thank all the seniors. And we're going to fight to get you dental, and we're going to fight to get you transportation, and we're going to fight to get those vital things that you talked about. Okay?
Thank you very much, Council Member Carraway. If I were closer, I would hug you.
Well, that's right. I got your hug from here.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, I just want to follow up on Councilman Carraway said. The ladies that came to my office the other day are old friends, and I think they laid it out straight about what the seniors' needs are. We need to understand that the county typically is responsible for health care-related things. However, it does not include the dental aspect. And I don't want to pick on my friend Sheffy there, but, you know, the elderly people like my parents, they didn't have fluoride back in the days. They just didn't have that. So a lot of them have a lot of dental and teeth-related problems, and that really cuts in heavy in a fixed income. And even though my dad, he retired from Collins Radio, he had a good business and so forth. You know, the pension he's got, the Social Security, they still live on a, you know, moderately fixed income. So all that health care money, along with paying your Medigap payments and all the extra things, it gets quite costly and getting more expensive by the day. So I think $200,000 is a very small, meek part, especially with the gigantic budget that the city of Dallas has. Again, the seniors are the ones that, as Dwayne was saying, they're the ones that have paid the taxes and the bonds, and they've done all the political work in the past to get Dallas to where it is now. Now they're in a state of need, and I think we have an obligation and yet a responsibility to take care of them. So that's where my vote's going to be. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next speaker.
Your next speaker, Mary Spencer. Ms. Spencer will be followed by Donna K. Bush.
Good morning.
Morning, Mary.
Again, I'm here dressed because I just came from another morning of our Pets for Life transfer day where DCAP, DAS, volunteers, we meet 4 to 5 times every month at 6:30 a.m. at the Beckley Center Rec Center to meet pet owners and transfer their dogs and cats to Spay Neuter Network in Crandall, Texas for their free surgery, microchips, and vaccinations. So far since April, we are almost at our 500 targeted goal for surgeries and vaccinations and chips, thanks to the Pets for Life and our Grow South grant, which is helping to sustainably fix the loose dog issues in South Dallas. Much like Big Fix for Big D, Pets for Life and Grow South are a little bit different in that our dedicated team does basically what Mrs. Davis described yesterday, a canvassing the neighborhoods and talking to the people there, both pet owners and non-pet owners. We're getting to know the people who have helped us so much identify which dogs are actually stray dogs, own dogs, and it's helped DAS systematically be able to pick up the dogs that do not have owners. We've also been able to help people who want to keep their pets but don't have the resources, the food, to take care of their pets. So like Mrs. Davis said, it is working, but it's not an overnight fix, and it is a rewarding one and a sustainable one. It does require feet on the street. People out getting to know the citizens within each of these areas to finally start making a difference in the loose, although we find many owned dogs wandering the streets. From yesterday's council briefing, I want to also thank everyone for your support of DAS. Like many of you stated, it's definitely a quality of life issue, and it affects the people just as greatly as it does the animals. I also want to remind you that the remaining enhancement for staffing is critical for the adequate funding of the division, and it's not a true enhancement as most people would think. Enhancements result in added services. What this money will mean that the funding will mean funding for 4 of the positions is for workers already currently filling service level needs. Funding for 7 of the positions is for the support of the programs necessary to continue the great work that we are doing with the Grow South Initiative and the enhanced southern sector coverage. The topic of the grants came up yesterday, and I also just want to mention a 3-year, $300,000 grant that DAS just received through DCAP from the Meadows Foundation to establish a volunteer program. This will mean thousands of hours of free service, free people, getting out there and helping and working at DAS. As you can see, great things are happening for both the animals at DAS and for the people of Dallas, also for the animals outside of DAS. The time is now, and to reinstate what Mr. Griggs and so many of you said yesterday, it is critical that DAS receive the funding to continue this phenomenal growth and the positive changes. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Spencer. And again, thank you for your leadership. You're one of the tireless City of Dallas citizens. Thank you. Mr. Kadane.
Yeah, I'd like to.
I'm sorry. Mr. Atkins was first.
Oh,
I can't
sorry.
Read.
Go ahead, Danielle.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Spencer. You know, as I said yesterday, I think the things have not got built in this rate about loose dogs. And I have been saying this for the last 7 years, and it's going on 8 years. It have not got better in disarray. We got trails coming into disarray, the AT&T Trail, the Singing Hill Trail, the Run Stream Trail, the Glendale Park Trail. And every day, if you go down Camp Wilson Central Stewart, you see people walking with golf clubs in their hand and baseball bat to walk in a walkable neighborhood. You go down Firebird, and you see the same five dogs that we've been trying to catch for the last 5 years, still walking the street. Monday was the first day of school. If it was in my neighborhood and walked my neighborhood, you see how many dogs was out. For children could not go straight to school, had to go around those dogs. And I understand the shelter might need dog food, but if we got five dogs, inspectors out there to try to cover my district, which is 56 square miles, and you look at my border district, it's Siegelville, Ball Spring, Wilmer, Hutchinson, Lancaster, DeSoto, and Duncanville, and with all the open space, the landfill. AC, I keep saying over and over, for 8 years, District 8 still is the highest with loose dogs and citation in the city of Dallas. And it have not gotten the bella. And I guess it's who the ACM over animal? I want to ask them a question.
It's Joey.
Joey. The question I'm going to ask, you know, and I agree, Ms. Spencer, we need more money for the animal show. I do agree we got more dogs out there, and the hard question is that if we go and catch those dogs, where do the dogs go? And I think the question a whole lot of people do not want to address, do those dogs go to dog land? Do they actually go to dog land? It might be dog land, dog heaven, but I don't say dog land, so I ain't going to say the other word. So if they do go to dog land and they still living, there's still a problem. And Joy, how many inspectors that when we call 311 in the whole city of Dallas, if someone in District 8 calls, someone in District 5 calls, someone in District 4 calls, someone in District 3 calls, how many inspectors we had can address those calls? So how many do we have?
As we stated yesterday, out on any one shift, five.
We got five, right?
Yes, sir.
Five, District 8, 56 square miles. Walk my district. Look at all the vacant space. That's a problem. And I understand everyone else district got the same problem. But for 8 years, no, in my opinion, no reduction. Still more loose dogs in this raid than in another district. You still got citizens walk down the street in the morning. We won't have walkable neighborhood with baseball bats and golf clubs to walk, to exercise. That's unacceptable to me. And AC, and I'm keep saying this, when I come back next year, not a council member, I'm going to be right out there and say, well, you going to take care about my dogs in my neighborhood? And it'll be that nicer guy when I come back. We should do something better, and I think District 8 deserves something better than what we got today. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll take our last speaker.
Can I say something?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, you can.
Yep.
Mr. Cadane and then Mr. Griggs.
Mr. Mayor. I wanted to thank Ms. Brewer and Ms. Spencer both for coming down, because the work that they do towards our animal shelter is unreal. They keep it, they help our people run a fantastic organization there. They're working extensively, which I'm proud of. I hope it happens, to get us a no-kill animal shelter. And I don't like seeing all these dogs put to sleep either. So, and the main concern of mine is, it's a lot of these dogs are not wild dogs. They're abandoned dogs. And we need to find a way that the people that aren't keeping them penned up or leashed, they're the ones we need to go after, not the dogs. So I appreciate the work you all do. I appreciate the animal shelter's work. And I think you're doing a fantastic job. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you for coming out for these comments on the animals. And colleagues, it's up to us. AC's handed us the budget. Animals needs $840,000 to put some more people, more employees out in the field to buy the food, fix the facility, get the generator. So I think we can get it done. It's a $1.17 billion budget. We've just got to find $840,000 to move, and then we can fund Dallas Animal Services. So it's up to the 15 of us to do it, if in fact this is one of our values. So I look forward to getting this done in the next couple of weeks. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. And it would just, it's important for me in my district with the same kind of issues that Mayor Pro Tem Atkins has to amplify what he had to say. And I don't know, I think a lot of people just tune this out and go, oh, gosh, here we are talking about the dogs again. But it is a critical problem, folks. It's an epidemic. I've said that yesterday. I've said it in the Quality of Life Committee. And it really does. It comes right down to the quality of life. It's the kind of life that you want to have in the city. You know, we've been moving to a city, the corporate limits of Dallas. We have a social contract or social compact to treat one another with respect. And some people just simply don't put their dogs where they need to put their dogs. They don't spay and neuter them. That's disrespectful to the rest of us that have to live around those. Dallas is just still, in my opinion, has just not got serious enough to deal with this critical problem. And I think we ought to do everything that we can, and I'm going to be supportive of getting them the full budget complement so that we can take care of that. I really applaud the leadership that Jody Jones has provided since she's come to the department. Also, Mary Spencer for her leading the Dallas Animal Services Board. I also want to thank Bonnie Mathias for her work. But every meeting I go to, and I go to as many as anybody, I go to Crime Watches, Homeowners, Texas Organizing Project. I have two chambers of commerce in my district. And every time during the campaign trail as I walked the streets, that was the biggest thing that I heard. They'd meet me at the front door saying, what are we going to do about all these dogs? And that is the biggest thing that's on the people's minds of Southeast. But yet we just kind of pander to the problem. We throw a little money, sprinkle of money here and there. 56 miles, he said, and I have a big district, too. I don't know exactly what the geography is, but it's still large. It takes me 25, 30 minutes to drive from one end to the next. That's how big it is. So 85,000 people, and then I'm sure there's a lot more dogs and cats than that. But we need to treat this seriously. We need to get an army of people out to deal with this problem. It's just not going to get any easier. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Carraway.
Yeah, Mayor, and I'll make it quick. Ms. Callahan and Mr. Atkins, with Mr. Callahan, I ditto everything that you just said. I don't have to repeat the problem. You all know that the problem is a major problem. When we get phone calls, if I had to send my office now and get my phone log for the week, the majority of it has a lot to do with stray dogs, town hall meetings. So that's a major problem that I know the Chief Cato has done a tremendous job in trying to get together. And Ms. Spencer, whatever it is we need to do to help with spay and neuter and all of that, to do a combination of trying to make sure that we take care of the pets and but we clear the neighborhood, I'm willing to make sure that we keep our sleeves rolled up. But it is major. It is one of the most major concerns that I have and complaints, and it's all about the stray dogs.
Thank you, Mr. Allen.
Joey, please.
Yes, sir.
In the budget that's coming up, that the current one that's being proposed, how many additions to staff is proposed?
There are the only enhancements will come, I guess, for the funding for the PetSmart
for life? I mean, that's really paying for staff that's going to staff that position. So that's three or four? How many people?
Right. It's four people.
Four people. Four people in the $700,000 enhancement that's in the proposed budget.
Okay.
But they are in the off-site adoption shelter, the everyday adoption shelter.
The yesterday, I make sure I heard it right, because what we talk about at council over and over and over again is stray dogs. Okay. A lot of the emphasis is placed on the facilities and the handling of the dogs. But stray dogs is what we hear over and over again. And yesterday, I believe I heard that even with more money, there was no intention of getting dog catchers to go out. Is that correct?
Not in the $700,000 enhancement that's in the proposed budget. Okay.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. We'll take the next speaker.
Your final speaker this morning is Donna K. Bush. And thank you, Ms. Bush, for being patient.
No, my name is not Joel. Good morning, Dallas City Council.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Donna K. Bush, and I'm also representing Donna K. Bush Enterprise and Donna K. Bush Ministries. Are we there yet? As I reflect over the dispensation of time and the tremendous, gripping current events, the question is posed, are we there yet? America the Beautiful, it was founded upon the illumination of the preamble, we the people. The elected representatives were also elected based on we the people and democracy. It is infiltrated by we the people. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Dallas the Beautiful, are we there yet? Racial equality without the dominance of an evident culture over another. The elevation of education, financial assistance for the economically deprived, the inopportune elderly, the radiant and courageous veterans, and the uplifting of prominent professionals that have embraced turbulent times. Dallas the Beautiful, are we there yet? Martin Luther King Jr. made a pronounced statement. This statement, he said, this nation cannot survive half slave and half free. In 1964, as we the people implemented our inalienable rights to march on Washington, this liberated and united a nation to expand its legal foresight and liberate a people. And I ask today, America the Beautiful, are we there yet? Let me depict a multiplicity of encounters. The person that is battling cancer. An example of that is me myself in the year 2005, even though I worked a corporate job. Believe it or not, with insurance, my bills were over $100,000. That's with insurance, very good insurance. I cannot imagine a family that has a child that is embracing leukemia. That's why I fight so powerfully about it. That has a sick child sick with leukemia or with cancer. Or the people that have disciplined themselves to obtain education. We have a crisis of people who are highly educated with bachelor's degrees, master's degrees, and even PhDs that at this time are having a difficult time. Some of them have stepped out to start their own businesses, and some of them have, accepted positions beneath their means in order to survive in the economy. I ask you today, America the Beautiful, are we there yet? Now, Donna K. Bush Ministries and Donna K. Bush Enterprise, within the last 23
thank
years.
Thank you, ma'am.
Oh, thank you so much.
Appreciate
I appreciate it.
Mr. Mayor, that concludes your morning speakers.
Thank you.
Your first item on the agenda, and there will be corrections, is approval of minutes of the August 13, 2014 City Council meeting. The correction is to agenda item 86. On the final vote on the item, we noted that Councilmember Grayson had voted yes and no. For the record, she had voted no. That's the correction, Mr. Mayor.
Got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. We move now to your consent agenda. Your consent agenda consists of agenda items number 2 through 55 and addendums item 1 through 8. We do have three speakers registered to speak on item 5. They will be called first. And item number 13 will be pulled for individual consideration and is pulled by Councilmember Kingston and Councilmember Gates. And agenda item 35 is pulled by Councilmember Kingston. The speakers on agenda item 5 are Sam Ramada. Mr. Ramada? Is he coming forward? Martin Sanchez will follow, as well as Eddie Guerra. So you are allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record.
Good morning. My name is Sam Ramada. I've been in business since 1992 with Budget Auto Body Shop. In 2008, the City of Dallas has approached me to become a member of the vending community. The reason the City of Dallas approached me in 2008 because they have so much workflow for the auto body repair and maintenance. I have fulfilled their request, and I stayed in the contract till 2010. In 2010, I came and I met with the purchasing department, and I recommended they should have an independent appraiser to re-inspect the vehicles and write up the estimates. My recommendation was taken by the purchasing department and has saved the city over $10 million in cost of repairs. It was my recommendation that saved the city count, the city of Dallas taxpayer money over $10 million in cost of repairs. We came up for this renewal of this contract, and the city had decided to award the whole contract to one vendor. As we go back in history, the City of Dallas had this commodity about 10, 15 years ago with one vendor only handling the whole job. And they ended up defaulting, and the city took the contract from them, and they started giving the contract to multiple vendors because the amount of work is just a tremendous amount of work. On an average week, the City of Dallas had between 35 to 45 cars damaged waiting to be picked up. So we could not see the logic why the city want to have one vendor handle the whole process. If this vendor backs up in one day, then the City of Dallas will have a whole lot of police cars, water utility cars, or old units standing in a slot with nobody to get the job done. My recommendation or my request is this contract to be awarded to multiple vendors, just like it used to be before. The amount of work to be done is a tremendous amount of work. Not wonder when they can handle it. We could not see the logic why the city want to go back to the same process they had about 10 years ago when they had one vendor handling the whole job. Back then, 10 years ago, the City of Dallas had few numbers of police cars and few numbers of personnel. Today, they have so many police cars and so many personnel. We couldn't see the logic why the city want to award one vendor the whole process when it can be shared accordingly on a rotation basis, just like it's been. Having the work shared on rotation will give a chance to every member in the vending community to get a job done, and the city won't have any cars parked in the parking lot waiting to be picked up and get done. We could not get an answer from purchasing why we have not been chosen, and we could not get an answer from purchasing why the numbers of the bids were out when the city has not published these numbers. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Your next speaker is Martin.
Hold on, sir.
There's two other speakers registered to speak. Okay. Martin Sanchez.
On the same subject, ma'am.
Hello. My name is Martin Sanchez, and what I heard Mr. Budget say here is about what I wanted to say. And the only thing I don't understand, why are they going from what we got now, four quadrants, the quadrant deal that we got, which is working good. The only thing that I see that's wrong with it is the people in charge do not know how to distribute the work. That is the problem. I've been working for the city for 13 years, and I'm just saying what I see. That's all I got to say.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next speaker, Eddie Guerra.
Thank you, Mayor and council members. Good morning. My name is Eddie Guerra, owner of Eddie's Mechanic and Body Repair. I have a couple of points to make in my displeasure with the city possibly awarding contract BJZ-1404, auto body, one ton and under to one shop. Point number one, in 2011, I was contacted by a couple of people, Carolyn Schwartz and Lisa Alonzo, to see my interest in bidding on a $14 million contract for auto body. This 14-plus million is what the city paid out on the 2009-2011 contract. There was four quadrants, us being in the northwest quadrant. We submitted a bid of $2.9 million over 3 years and won the northwest quadrant. I gave the city a substantial discount based on the projected allocated usage. Our business spent nearly $50,000 in equipment to handle this new business. In the first year, 2011, our service to the city was $994,000, one-tenth of a million, which was projected for the first year. I called Carolyn Schwartz to discuss my displeasure with the low volume, and she said we cannot renegotiate the contract, but for me to hang in there, that more than likely the city would just extend the contract until all the money was used up. I thought at least that was fair. Over 3 years, we completed over 400 cars for $575,000, giving the city back $215,000, netting us $359,000. That is 20% of the $2.9 million that we bid. Not good for my discount. Overall, in the contract, the city paid out nearly $3 million on this past contract on a $14 million projection. The four shops saved the city $11 million. Folks, why does the city want to fix something that is not broke? Furthermore, you should ask or audit the 2009-2011 contract. Why did the city pay out this amount, $14 million? And it went to $3 million this past one. You have more cars this time than last time. I don't know who has been in charge of the auto body in the past contracts.
Thank you, sir. Your time's up.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So, for your consideration.
All right. So, we've got some folks wanting to speak, and we have a process question. This item has just been pulled by Mr. Caraway. And we'll postpone this till this afternoon, okay? And then we'll discuss it at that time, okay? It is item number five only. Thank you. No.
All right, so therefore, for your consent agenda, you're going to be approving agenda items 2 through 4, 6 through 12, 14 through 34, 36 through 55, and addendum items number 1 through 8.
Thank you. Do we have a motion of proof? We got a motion, Mr. Cadain, second by Mr. Atkins. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 13 is authorize an amendment to the contracts for co-bond council services with McCall, Parkhurst, and Horton, LLP, and Escamilla, Ponick, and Cruz, LLP, Team A, and Bracewell and Giuliani, LLP, and West and Associates, LLP, Team B, to extend the term of the contracts for a two-year term. This item was pulled by Councilmember Kingston and Councilmember Gaines.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to approve item number 13 as read into the record by the City Secretary, subject to the term of the contracts ending on August 31, 2015.
Do we have a second? We have a second, Ms. Gates. Any discussion?
Just briefly, Mr. Mayor, this came to Budget Audit and Finance, and it's really a sunlight measure. We need to make sure that when we're selling bonds, that each part of that process where the city engages with vendors, that we make sure that we're going back to the market frequently enough to ensure that we're getting a good deal. And that's really what I think Ms. Gates and myself wanted to see with this contract. We talked with Warren. He feels comfortable that just going out a year will give him enough stability to get through the next two issuances, which should be this fall, yet also allow a good look at the market next year. And so I think it's a good compromise. I think he's comfortable with it. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move now to agenda item number 35. Authorize the first one-year extension of the three-year service contract with United Healthcare Services, Inc. for the period January 1, 2015 through December 31, 2015 for services including number one, medical third-party administration services, number two, fully insured Medicare Advantage HMO, AARP Medicare Supplement, and in-house Medicare Part D prescription drug plans for Medicare-eligible retirees and their eligible spouses, number three, fully insured vision and dental plans, and number four, a diabetes prevention and control alliance program. The item was pulled by Councilmember Kingston.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Kingston.
Move approval, Mayor.
Second.
Motion is second. Any discussion?
Yeah, just briefly, I pulled this, colleagues, because this extends United Healthcare as the third party administrator, and they suck. And I talked to Molly, and she said that she'd looked at everybody in the market and that they all suck equally. But she has a plan for fixing some of the problems that our employees face when they go to get health care with our health benefits, and she's going to be bringing that to Jerry's going to put that on Budget Audit and Finance here very shortly. So I feel comfortable that staff's trying to address it. Thanks.
Thank you. Mr. Griggs?
Thank you, Mayor. And certainly, AC, I think this is an area where we could, at some point with Jerry's leadership, look at some other options. I know other cities, big companies are going to programs, for example, where you would have like Baylor or some big hospital system in your city provide all the health care. So I think if we went that direction for a provider, we could get quite a bit of savings. I know United's been with the city for some time, and we're pretty cozy with them. But this is a really good area where we could get some competitive bidding. So I just want to thank Councilmember Kingston and certainly Chair Allen of the Budget, Finance, and Audit for your leadership in this area and looking for a way that we can get better services for our employees at quite a bit of savings. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Gonzalez, I'd like you to respond to Mr. Griggs' comment. But I just have a question to jump in. You can respond to both. It seems to me size makes a difference in these deals. And are we doing everything we can to make sure we've got as many employees in this system across governmental entities, across divisions in the city of Dallas? You know, I don't want to be doing anything from a parochial view that hurts the whole in something like this. What are your thoughts on both those things?
Well, first of all, I'm not sure we would characterize it, Mr. Kingston's comments quite the way he did, but I would agree that there are opportunities there that we really feel like we ought to be looking into and to take advantage of. To that end, for the last year or so, we've been considering how there might be some very fundamental changes in how our medical benefits are bought, and then what that might translate into different programs. And to the mayor's comment with regards to how it might be more advantageous for us to be going into this with as large a group as possible, there's two factors. One, as it relates to our own individuals and whether or not the choices are more limited for them to be participating in a particular program, but also reaching out to some of the other governmental entities, the county, school district, and others that might want to join in on a similar effort to see about how that might have an impact on price for all of us.
Thank you. So we've got a motion and a second to approve. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Thank you.
We move now to agenda item number 56, and that is consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. For individual appointment to the Martin Luther King Jr. Community Center Board, Johnny Goins is nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Atkins. For full council appointment to the Employees Retirement Fund Board of Trustees, all nominated by Mayor Rawlings, are Carolyn Davis, Lee Kleinman, and John Peavy. To the Reinvestment Zone 7 Board Sports Arena, Daniel L. Powell is nominated by Councilmember Grayson and meets the Dallas County resident qualification. For chair appointments nominated by Mayor Rawlings, you have Michael P. Lavolo as chair to the Community Development Commission and Michael W. Waters as chair to the Martin Luther King Jr. Community Center Board.
Do we have a motion to approve? A second. And Mr. Medrano, thank you. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda items number 57 through 60 are eminent domain items. I will now read the items into the record. Agenda items number 57 requires that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of power eminent domain if necessary to acquire from Dallas Hidden Creek Apartments, LTD, a subsurface easement containing approximately 16,115 square feet located on Hatcher Street near its intersection with Junction Street in City of Dallas Block 4471, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the Mill Creek Peaks Branch St. Thomas Drainage Relief Tunnel Project. Agenda item number 58 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of the power of eminent domain if necessary to acquire from Jeffrey D. Smith a tract of land containing approximately 65,314 square feet located on Barber Avenue at its intersection with Dixon Avenue in City of Dallas Block 6123, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the Mill Creek Peaks Branch St. Thomas Drainage Relief Tunnel Project. Agenda item number 59 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of the power of eminent domain if necessary to acquire from Stonewood Terrace Apartments, LTD, a subsurface easement containing approximately 57,609 square feet located on Dixon Circle near its intersection with Dixon Avenue in City of Dallas Block 6, 6122, and 6123, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the Mill Creek Peaks Branch St. Thomas Drainage Relief Tunnel Project. Agenda item number 60 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt and authorize the use of the power of eminent domain if necessary to acquire from Sylvia Greer and Bernadine Banks a tract of land containing approximately 10,758 square feet located on Barber Avenue near its intersection with Dixon Avenue in City of Dallas Block 6, 6122, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the Mill Creek Peaks Branch St. Thomas Drainage Relief Tunnel Project. If any council member wishes to consider any of these items separately, please do so now. Very well. Then may I have a motion and second to approve agenda items number 57 through 60?
Second.
Okay, motion and second. Any discussion?
A record vote is required, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Please cast your vote. All have voted. Voting in favor, Council Members Medrano, Carraway, Gates, Kleinman, Mayor Rawlings, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo, Council Members Kingston, Callahan, Grayson, Griggs, Cadane, and Mayor Pro Tem Atkins. Council Member Davis and Council Member Allen are absent when vote taken. Council Member Hill is absent on city business. The motion carries, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
The following statement applies to agenda items number 61 through 64, which will require 2 seconds. By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable of both the facts and the circumstances of the cases and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Agenda item number 61 and 62 need to be considered collectively. Item 61 is authorized a real property tax abatement agreement for 10 years. I'm sorry, that is 61 through 63 need to be considered collectively. Agenda item 61 is authorized a real property tax abatement agreement for 10 years with Stone Ridge Fund X, LLC, for the development of Stone Ridge XI located on approximately 24 acres at the intersection of Hampton Road and Daniel Dale Road in Dallas, Texas. Agenda item number 62 is authorized a real property tax abatement agreement for 8 years with Stone Ridge Fund X, LLC, for the development of Stone Ridge X, actually 12, located on approximately 9 acres at the intersection of Stoneview Drive and Daniel Dale Road. Agenda item number 63 is authorize a real property tax abatement agreement for 8 years with Stone Ridge Fund X, LLC, for the development of Stone Ridge 13, located on approximately 9 acres at the intersection of Old Hickory Trail and Daniel Dale Road in Dallas, Texas. And there was a correction to the estimate on agenda item 63 to correct the amount from estimate at $198,323 to actually $66,104. The items require 2 seconds, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Entertaining motion, Mr. Atkins.
So move.
Second.
Got a motion, 2 seconds. Any discussion? Hearing none. Does any record vote too?
No.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 64 is authorize an amendment to Resolution 14-0771 with Dallas Area Habitat for Humanity, Inc., DAHFH, to number 1, change the terms of the development loan to a conditional grant, number 2, decrease the Federal Home Investment Partnership Program funds, HOME, to $450,000 for the construction of 15 homes, and number 3, provide $450,000 in bond funds for construction of 15 homes for a total of 30 affordable single-family homes for the Jimmy and Rosalyn Carter project to be located on Exeter and Custer Streets. The item requires 2 seconds.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Carraway.
Yeah, Mayor, I move approval of this item.
Second. A motion is second. Any discussion?
Alonso.
Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Addendum item number 9 is a resolution designating absences by Councilmember Carolyn R. Davis as being for official city business. The record will reflect that Councilmember Davis is absent for this item.
Do we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Do we have any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Mr. Mayor, that concludes your morning items.
And so we will recess and we will pick it up at 1 o'clock p.m. Starting our zoning cases.
Meeting recesses at 10:15.
All right, good afternoon. It's 1:03 p.m.
Oh wait, who's leaving? Phillip's leaving? No, Phillip's staying here. Okay.
Yeah, Phillip's here. Okay, it's 1:03 p.m. And we will pick up our zoning cases for the afternoon. We have one other item. Mr. Carraway and Mr. Callahan aren't here, so we'll hold on that item. Let us begin our afternoon agenda. Ms. Rios.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I know that Mayor Pro Tem Atkins wanted to be recognized regarding agenda item 67, so we're going to hold off on that.
Okay.
At this point, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo would like to be recognized regarding items 68 and 69.
Thank you, Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. See, we have a quorum, do we? Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I wanted to make a motion on item number 68. And I move to defer item number 68 to the September 10th, 2014 agenda, please.
68 and 69 or just 68?
No, 68. I thought I would have to do them separately because they're different dates.
Ms. Rios?
Yes.
Does she have to do these separately?
I have to do them separately because they're from different dates. They're four different dates.
Well, you can go ahead and indicate both and then indicate.
Yeah, just okay. Make your whole motion.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Then I move to defer item number 68 to the September 10, 2014 agenda and to keep the public hearing open. And I move to defer case number Z134-245 until December 10, 2014.
It's item 69. Got a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem Atkins would like to be recognized regarding agenda item number 69.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins.
Item number
67. Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Chair.
Thank you.
Okay, item number 67, Z134-166. For sale of alcoholic beverage, I'm going to move to defer this item until October 8th.
And leave it.
Do we have a second? We got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We now move to your consent zoning agenda, which now consists of agenda items number 65, 70, 72, and addendum 10. I will read those into the record, after which speakers will be called. Agenda item number 65 is a public hearing regarding an application for an ordinance granting an amendment to specific use permit number 650 for a public library on property zoned in R10A single family district on the southeast corner of Beltline Road and Hillcrest Road. Agenda item number 70 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 1981 for a bar, lounge, or tavern and for an amendment to add a dance hall on property generally on the north line of Main Street east of Malcolm X Boulevard. Agenda item number 72 is a public hearing and a resolution accepting an amendment to the deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant at the northwest corner of Goldust Trail and Leveland Road. Addendum item number 10 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for an open enrollment charter school on property on the east side of Tufts Road, north of Riley Road. Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the items? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion to approve. We got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. We move now to agenda item number 66. The following statement will apply to agenda item number 66, 71, 73 through 79. By making and seconding the motions the council members represent, they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable about the facts and the circumstances of the cases and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. So agenda item number 66 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to an expansion of plan development subdistrict number 71 for MF2 multifamily subdistrict uses on property on the south corner of McKinney Avenue and Hester Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 140 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 6 replies in favor and 1 in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? We have an individual coming forward. Sir, you are allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record.
Thank you, members of the council. Evan Beatty with Good Fulton & Farrell Architects, 2808 Fairmont Street in Dallas, Texas. We're here today to share the design of the McKinney and Hester project that we've been working on for almost a year now. The project is currently proposed is a 75-foot-tall main structure height building with 205 dwelling units and 14,000 square feet of ground floor mixed uses and a 3-level below-ground parking garage. The site is surrounded by commercial uses on almost every side. We're half a block north of Knox and have commercial uses along Knox Street and to the east fronting 75 We have some lower density residential uses to our north and are within just over a quarter mile of the Katy Trail to the west. So it's an area of Dallas that's really experiencing a lot of rejuvenation in the last few years. A balance of pedestrian-friendly uses have been developing, and there's great retail activity. The City of Dallas has recently approved over $700,000 in streetscape improvements on Knox as part of the Complete Streets program. And this project has an opportunity to further the retail offerings along Knox and add to the pedestrian-friendly realm and add residents to support the businesses that are already there. I apologize, the slides that I have showing aren't showing up. The slide I have up now is a ground floor plan of our building. On the ground floor of the building, we have just under 14,000 square foot of retail. And through our interaction with the Oak Lawn Committee, we've positioned residential units on the north side of our block, buffering from the lower density residential we have from the north. That was something that the Oak Lawn Committee told us they were concerned about, and a change that we made to our plan was to accommodate that. Above that, we have residential uses, five stories of residential with a small portion of mezzanine. And I'm going to go back one to our ground floor plan here. Apologize for that technology difficulty. Our garage entry is on the very south side of the site, which you see in dark gray on the screen now. Retail uses are coded in red, and the residential buffer I was mentioning that we established is on the north side of the project. Our leasing office entry has been pulled about 80 feet south of residential uses to the north to keep activity down from the north, and we have ground floor street-facing units with stoops and individual entries to contribute to a lower activity, pedestrian-friendly environment in this neighborhood. This is a streetscape view of our site on McKinney Avenue. You can see we've got a 10-foot sidewalk in our front yard setback, in a 10-foot seating area, 8-foot sidewalk along the McKinney Avenue frontage, and an 8-foot planting zone, or 6-foot 8-inch planting zone here. We're really lucky to have a 60-foot right-of-way street adjacent to us with a 15-foot parkway that allows us to set up for a very pedestrian-friendly dimension from the building to the curb. This is the north side of the project where we've introduced residential-scaled windows and a rhythm that really buffers from the retail to the south on this elevation. This aerial view of the project shows a large area we've committed to carve away from the building on its west side to create relief facing McKinney Avenue, prevent us from having a mega block that just offers a solid front face to McKinney, and create more of a pedestrian scale. This lower view shows a pedestrian level view of that space along McKinney Avenue with the retail storefronts fronting McKinney, that carved away area offering relief, which we've committed to provide within the zoning. And we're real excited about the opportunity that this project has to take the energy along McKinney just a smidge north.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in favor?
Tommy Mann, 500 Winstead Building, representing the applicant in this request. Everything Evan just summarized for you is supported by the City Plan Commission with one exception, and I'm going to talk about that, and that's our requested height. We must have our requested structure height of 75 feet with 10 feet of allotment for mechanical and mezzanine space up to 85 in order for this project to go forward. The Plan Commission's recommendation of 60 feet was based on a concern raised by the city staff that the building could overpower or potentially create a sort of canyon effect along McKinney. We don't think that concern is valid because we have put in controls and designed this building in such a way that that won't happen. We've limited the coverage once you get to above the first story, so less building once you're above the first story. Additionally, we've required that the private open space for our residents be oriented along McKinney, as you see in this rendering. And what that does is break the building up. So as you're walking down the parkway in front of this project, you're not going to be overpowered by it. It's going to fit very well within the urban context of the walkable Knox district that it would be located in. Taking a slight step back and talking about that context further, here you see our site. You see that to the east and to the south, we have pretty heavy commercial zoning that allows up to 120 and 240 feet of height, which is substantially more than the 75 to 85 we're even requesting. I've noted on this for you the Saltillo site that this body approved 2 weeks ago. which is obviously in the same neighborhood, and had a lot more sensitive adjacencies than this site does, with lower density MF2 around most sides, the Katy Trail, and then single family and Highland Park across the trail. You'll note we really only have that MF2 adjacency across Hester on the small northern portion of our site. Now, it's been said, and it is, of course, correct, that no zoning case establishes a precedent that necessarily requires the approval of a subsequent one. However, because the Saltillo was approved in this neighborhood 2 weeks ago, I think it's useful to examine the context of that site in comparison to the context of this site. And when you do that, I think it's a pretty compelling argument that our requested height is, in fact, appropriate. If you look at Saltillo, the majority of it was all zoned MF2, and they increased that by 46 feet to get to their max of 82. Most of this site already allows 60. We're going up to 75, slightly less than Saltillo, with those allowances I talked about, a much smaller increase. You had droves of opposition to Saltillo, obviously, from the single family in Highland Park that was only about 75 feet away. You don't see any of those people here today, and they weren't at Plan Commission because we're almost 1,000 feet away. The site's better situated for this type of development. The city staff actually recommended outright denial of the Saltillo request. Our request is recommended for approval with this one difference as to height. You look at those adjacencies. It's very important to take that context into mind, couple that with the design that Evan summarized for you and the renderings you've seen, and we think it is apparent and appropriate height for this site, and would respectfully request you follow the CPC with that change at our requested height. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. My name is Joel Behrens. I'm with Trammell Crow Company. I'm the developer on this project. On the screen, you'll see a picture of what the site looks like today. And today, it consists of really four parcels, a car wash, apartment building, a 1980s condo building, and a 1930s house. I've been working on this for 19 months, and it's been a challenge to get to this point, but it's been a good experience as well. It took 9 months just to get the first property under contract, and we've had the four parcels under contract since November of last year. Immediately following getting that last one under contract, we reached out to the neighboring communities, sent letters to the most closely affected neighbors. We reached out to Oak Lawn Committee, ended up presenting to them on a number of occasions, and worked with them to really address some of their concerns, which I haven't hit on earlier. And really, it's been a great process. What Oak Lawn suggested, we believe it will make this project better than we originally had thought it could be. And, you know, as a body, you ask us to reach out to neighbors and interact with them. And I did that in this process, and it's been great. We sent letters, and normally when you hear from neighbors, you hear when there's concerns. I didn't hear one concern. I had multiple people calling asking how they could help. They want to see this happen. A couple of them, or at least one of them, is here today to talk about that. And I just ask that you take that in consideration and really allow us to move forward with the requested height, because without it, this project won't happen. Thank you. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in favor?
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name's Frank Stitch. I live at 4228 North Hall Street, Dallas, Texas. I'm here today representing the Oak Lawn Committee, and the committee does support this case. We've worked with this applicant. We went through the CPC process. We saw the changes that were made at that time. We come to you today supporting the height they are actually asking for. I could almost say ditto on what Mr. Mann had to say. In other words, we were concerned about the issues of height and density, but we worked through that with them. When you really look at the site, everything surrounding it is either non-residential, that's to the east and south, and when you go to the west, it's MF3, which of course is the densest available MF zoning in Oak Lawn. So we felt that what they wanted to build would be appropriate from any perspective. Our concerns about the non-residential use is, well, this is the first time the Oak Lawn Committee has supported adding non-residential uses into an MF2 district. We felt that by working with them on permitted uses and non-permitted uses, and quite frankly with the change our planning commissioner, Mr. Ridley, made at the CPC hearing, regarding those lists, we feel that the neighborhood is safely protected in the future, because that's the way we look at this. We don't expect that this applicant, who is spending a great deal of money, is going to shoot themselves in the foot by putting a ridiculous use at this site. But we try to look down the road at the Oak Lawn Committee. Our concern is what will happen 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now, because this zoning goes on, as we all know. And we feel that what they're proposing to do does protect the neighborhood in the future. Therefore, again, I ask that you please support the applicant's request as given to you by them today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in favor? Sir, if you'll please come forward. Please state your name and address for the record as well. You do have 3 minutes to speak.
I'm Jack Alder. I presently reside at 2300 Leonard. But I am a property owner at 4650 McKinney Avenue. My wife and I bought that property, which is part of the subject of this. My wife and I bought that property in 1980, and I was prepared to live there for the rest of my life. So when we were approached about selling, because of my architectural background, my urban planning background, I wanted to make sure that this was a quality thing that I was selling to. So I've been working with very closely with this as it's been developed, and I'm very pleased to say that I think this is the kind of zoning that's required. Really, the property that I own there and on either side of me is ill-suited. It's perfectly suited for a big urban development, well-designed for the conveniences and the amenities for both the residences and for the retail that's going to be located there. So I speak strongly in favor of this.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in favor? We have another individual coming forward.
Anybody else? You can come on down. You don't have to wait till. Anybody else? Okay.
My name is Christopher Schaefer. I'm a homeowner at 4717 McKinney Avenue. I've become very familiar with this project when I received the letter making mention of the development. I reached out to Trammell Crowe directly. I had several questions and feel comfortable that it's going to be a significant improvement to the neighborhood. I've lived there for 9-plus years with my wife and small child. The reason we live there is because we love the urban, dense, walkable environment. I think this is just going to add to it. Further, I think it's going to be a huge improvement from the existing structures that are there. I also have a letter of support for myself and six other homeowners in my 14-unit townhome development, and I also represent the Homeowners Association, and we are all in favor. We are at the northwest corner of Hester and McKinney. We are probably one of the closest residential complexes to the development. So, thank you.
Next individual.
My name is Brian O'Boyle. I own several other pieces of property in the immediate neighborhood. I think that if this zoning case is approved, I think it really helps to address more of the walkability of a neighborhood. And I think if you look at the pictures that were so elegantly displayed at the car wash and the other older apartments, the Casa Monterey apartments, I think it's the neighborhood and the city would be well served if those came down and this project went up. I think from an economic standpoint, if you look at what this does to the tax base, I believe the city taxes are $22,000 a year. If this project goes through, I believe they would go to $350,000. So you're basically going from an assessed value of $2 million to probably somewhere in excess of $40 million. I think if you look at the walkability of of that neighborhood, I think this cleans up a lot of, basically an eyesore. And then if you look at what's surrounding, if you look in the back, it's all commercial all the way to Central Expressway. I think this would be a real positive addition to the neighborhood and city.
Thank you.
Any other speakers? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor. And for the record, this item was reclassified on the addendum to be considered as an individual item as it is a designated zoning case and therefore requires 2 seconds for approval.
Thank you. We'll entertain a motion at this point. Mr. Kingston.
Okay, stick with me. This is going to take a minute. The motion is to approve the zoning as recommended by CPC with the following changes. The first change is found in Section S-71.105. sub B. The sub B will read, medical clinic is limited to the hours of 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. The next change is in S-71.107.7. The sub B paragraph will read, front yard, except as provided in the subsection, minimum front yard must be provided as shown on the development plan. Moving from there to sub C, side and rear yard, will read, minimum side and rear yards must be provided as shown on the development plan. Moving down to C, sub 3, sub, oh wait, nope, it's not C. Moving down to sub E, height, this will read, maximum structure height is 75 feet. And moving down to sub 2 under E, height, this will read, maximum structure height per mezzanine level is 85 feet and limited to the locations shown on the roof plan. Moving down to E, height, sub 3, the first paragraph will read, the following may project a maximum of 12 feet above the maximum height, except it may not exceed 85 feet. The remainder of the subsections under that are the same. Moving down to sub F, lot coverage. Sub 1, the paragraph will read, except as provided in this subsection, maximum lot coverage is 85%. Above ground parking structures are included in lot coverage calculations, and underground parking structures are not. That's the entire motion. Sorry, y'all.
Second.
We got a motion and 2 seconds. Yeah. Discussion, Mr. Kingston?
Let me just say a couple of things. Evan, what's across the street from this?
To the immediate west is what you're asking, or to
mm-hmm.
the south?
To the west?
To the immediate west, it's a four-story apartment, existing apartment structure with a relatively suburban design, wrought iron fence all the way around.
So not really commercial?
No.
It's 3 stories, too.
That, is it 3? I think it's 4.
You do?
I thought it was 4.
Yeah, you got the architecture degree,
okay.
So you may be right.
If I'm wrong, I apologize.
Anyway, thanks to you and the applicant for your work on this. Thanks again to Oaklawn Committee for working through this. Frank, I figured out the deal we were talking about, and it's the ordinance is correct. So appreciate always you guys doing the legwork on getting agreement. I know this one took a while, but it's because it's not as simple as it sounds, and it's nice to have people who are willing to work for it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins.
Thank you, Mayor. Also, thank you, Mr. Kingston, for your hard work. I know it was very difficult to try to pull everything together. You can see with all the changes that you need to put in different in the section here. I think it's going to be a great project down there. We look like that we'll get, instead of getting $22,000 a year in tax, we get another $347,000 in taxes. It's a big improvement. It's great to have the community come out and support a project, which I really appreciate. That how they did a presentation, the different parties, which is not the home association, it was the property owner. It was everyone who had a stake in that name who came out and spoke. Again, Mr. Kingsley, thank you again, you know, for listening to the community and listening to the development. And I think it's been a great project for the city of Dallas.
Thank you. We have a motion in 2 seconds and no other discussion. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item.
Hold on, Ms. O'Donnell.
We need a quick clarification from Councilmember Kingston if his motion included the opportunity for us to bring the ordinance back in 2 weeks.
Wait, tell me what you need to do. I'm sorry, Teresa. David was asking me the same thing, and then I didn't hear either one of you.
If it's all right with you, we could close the public hearing, approve the item today with the ordinance to come back in 2 weeks. So to incorporate the
two
changes that you have.
We're going to have to move to reconsider in order to do that. We just took the vote.
Ms. Palomino is...
Hold on. It's a legal issue. So you got a microphone.
Thank you.
as I heard the motion, it was as presented, subject to these amendments. So to the extent that the amendment, the motion included the concept of bringing back the ordinance, so would Mr. Kingston's.
I don't understand what you just said.
I don't either.
Say it again.
Clarify that the provisions of the original motion, except for your changes that you read, is the motion that you presented to the body.
You want him to do
the ordinance has to come back.
The ordinance has to come back the way he read it.
I'm fine to do it however you want to do it.
Yes.
Okay.
That's fine. Thank you. No, we're fine. Okay, next item.
Thank you. Agenda item number 71 was also corrected on the addendum to provide that it is a designated zoning case to be heard individually and will require 2 seconds. This is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a plan development district for R-7.5A single-family district uses for a college or university and related uses on property on the east line of Coit Road, north of Cullum Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 32 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 5 replies in favor and none in opposition.
Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you. I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Plan Commission, subject to the detailed development plan in lieu of a conceptual plan. A final plat for a single-family development may make minor deviations from the lot and secondary street configuration shown on the detailed development plan, provided that the final plat does not increase the number of lots or provide additional access points to Coit Road. And that's my motion. I just also wanted to say we made some changes to the language that formerly referenced a conceptual plan. This is a detailed development plan. So that is my motion.
Thank you. We have a second. We have two. And we've got another second. Discussion, Ms. Grayson.
Well, I also wanted to add that I worked on this development with Murdad Moyadi, Mike, and Kirk Wilson, and Sean Terry, who's here today. And what a pleasure to work with these gentlemen. This is the same group that's doing the Statler Hotel, and they're doing the Stoneleigh Towers, and these guys are great to work with, and thank you. I appreciate the ease with which we were able to do this. Thank you. It's going to be beautiful, so thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Grayson, was this the project that we looked at a long time ago and has changed significantly?
This is a totally different project. That one really was apparently never going to get off the ground.
Right. But so this is a whole new
and
group.
And this is a whole, it's a different developer. It's a whole different project, and we're excited about it.
Great.
In the district.
Thank you for your leadership on that. So we have a motion and a second. And we're 2 seconds. We've got it. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. We look forward to working with you guys on this and other projects in Dallas. Thank you. Next item.
Yes, sir. Agenda item number 73 and 74 will be considered collectively at the request of Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo. Item number 73 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an RR Regional Retail District with deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on property on the east line of North Walton Walker Freeway, south of West Jefferson Boulevard, and a resolution accepting the deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant. Agenda item number 74 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an RR Regional Retail District with deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on property on the south side of West Jefferson Boulevard, east side of North Ira Avenue, and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant. Both these items were corrected on the addendum to indicate that they were designated zoning cases.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 30 notices for both cases within 200 feet of each, and we received 1 reply in favor and 1 in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in opposition? Any speakers in favor?
Santos Martinez, 900 Jackson, Dallas, Texas, 75202. The property owner has worked very hard with Deputy Mayor Pro Tem's office and the Arcadia Park neighborhood and working through some deed restrictions on these cases. There are some additional items that we'd like to add to the record that our client is amenable to adding, and I'd like to go ahead and read those now. And this is with respect to case 274, agenda item number 73. We agreed to restrict the ability for a building repair and maintenance shop, electronic service center, tool or equipment rental, an ambulance service use, a furniture store, home improvement center, lumber, brick, or building material sales yard, household equipment and appliance repair, outside sales, an electrical substation, a mini warehouse, recycling collection center, recycling drop-off container, and a recycling drop-off for special occasion collections. And on case 275, agenda item number 74, we're amenable to the following restrictions to be added to our deed restrictions: business school, household equipment and appliance repair, motor vehicle fueling station, outside sales, temporary retail use, mini warehouse, recycling collection center, recycling drop-off container, recycling drop-off for special occasions collections. Stand for any questions you may have.
Are there any other individuals desiring to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the items? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor. The item, item 73 does only require 1 second, but the item, I'm sorry, these items require 2 seconds. As they are being considered collectively.
Okay, thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to make a motion and then a couple of comments, if I could. I move to close the public hearing and approve these two zoning cases in item number 73 and 74 with the ordinance and revised volunteer deed restrictions to come back once they are submitted.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
And a motion and a second. Any discussion?
I just wanted to say
Please.
A couple of things, Mr.
Please.
Mayor, and I wanted to thank Mr. Varela and Mr. Martinez, or the representative, along with the applicant, and thank them for not only talking with our office, but more importantly, talking with the community as to what is the thought of coming into that neighborhood. We are working very hard to be able to make it a more livelier and more vibrant neighborhood, and so I want to thank them for taking that initiative to be able to participate. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Alonzo. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. We'll take up item number 5 from this morning.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Agenda item number 5 is authorize a 3-year service contract for vehicle auto body collision repair services, First Class Auto Inc., in the amount of $3,572,995, and Graf Chevrolet Company in the amount of $1,387,100, most advantageous proposers of 11. The item was pulled by Councilmember Carraway. 3 individuals were registered to speak on the item and spoke earlier in the morning.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Mr. Atkins.
Yes, Mayor. I'm going to move this forward, but I want to talk to Flowers.
So that's a motion to approve.
A motion to approve.
Do we have a second? Okay.
Flowers, you know, I know we have some speaker elders to speak on this procurement deal, and I just want to make sure that everyone understand that that this was done fairly and correctly. Why did we procurement go towards this route and to make sure that we are saving the city money? Can you tell me the background? How did we get to this point?
Yes, the background on this item is that we've had this service for a number of years at the city, well over 8 years, and we've made improvements as we've been going through it. For example, hiring an adjuster to approve estimates on work before it's done and things like that. All of those improvements over the years have been incorporated in this item that is before you today. The current item that we have is budgeted or programmed at $14.8 million, and the item that's before you today for the same time period, same service, is $4.8 million for a difference of $10 million. So we recommend this item today.
And how much is saving? It is,
well, the term savings is if we were to spend, but $10 million difference between the price of a current and this new contract, $10 million.
So we had a savings. So
yes.
The person who this contract would be awarded to, that if he want to subcontract to any of those other vendors out there, he have a right to do it, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Alonzo.
Mr. Turner, can you explain, there was some discussion earlier in the individuals were, that were here to speak, that there was some invitation for them to apply, for them to come forward on that. Was all that mentioned to them, and the communication was in accordance to what we go through as far as the procurement process and at when they are registering and or trying to do business with the city?
All of those procedures, both the procurement procedures as well as the city's good faith effort procedures, were followed and were described and detailed at the pre-proposal conference. Okay. So, yes.
Well, we want to make sure also, because Mr. Atkins and I serve on a committee to make sure that we are as inclusive as we can with minority participation, with MWBE, women, et cetera.
Yes.
So I want to make sure that we also worked on that, and we do have 78% of this contract. Am I correct that it's for minority participation?
That is correct.
Okay. So I want to make sure that we indicate that we have gone through the process.
Yes.
And we try to be as inclusive as possible.
Yes.
But also in the process, we are also being considerate for minority participation.
That
Am I correct?
You are correct.
Okay. Just want to make sure that's in the record, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Carraway.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Forrest, and Mr. Mayor Pro Tem and Deputy Mayor Pro Tem. And one reason that I did want to, and I did ask for us to talk about it over lunch, was to give exactly that opportunity and of fairness, and that opportunity was extended, and I want to thank everybody for being involved and with the attempt. I made it very clear when we were having the little discussion, the part that I participated in, was that it is up to the individual to extend an olive branch, and I'll just call it an olive branch, to other folks in order to participate. Some of the other folks had some concerns, and I understood that. I've asked them and given them some direction as to how and what the process is that they are allowed to follow.
That's correct.
So we've gotten with Mr. Kingston and other folks so that they can know that their rights are there just in case. So they can just ask the question. Everyone has a right to ask the question. Not you. I said Kingston.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Mr. Keaton. All right. But, okay. So with
Mr.
that,
Kenton, let me city auditor, Mr.
City
Kenton.
Auditor. Yeah, city auditor. You're a lawyer. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm there with that, and I just wanted to put that onto the record.
Thank you very much, Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I just want to say thanks to Martin and April for coming down today. They have a business, a body shop in my area, and they've done contracting with the city for 13 years, and they're very much part of our Southeast business community. And I want to make sure that they're being treated fairly and the city responds to that, and we have a level playing field is where my comments are going to be going. And obviously, Martin has made a number of allegations through emails and also commentary with the city. Just some of the things that he's told me, you know, going back in time is that his group was asked to ramp up so they could take care of large contracts. They were also asked to get the elite or the full certification so they could do certain work with the city, you know, insisted that they do. And there's been kind of a background, whereas, the city has had a history of slow paying, you know, invoices. There's been a history of, you know, having those or the overhead or the weight of the company there, but yet not getting enough cars there as promised. Also, once they got the cars in there, they'd have a lot of downtime because they either had insufficient parts or the incorrect part or the part itself was just not sufficient enough to get the job done. So they had to go back and either get a replacement part or a new part. And obviously this costs, you know, money and so forth. So his feelings and many of the other body shops have been the reason their price with the city of Dallas is more expensive is because the downtime, the wait time, the lag time of getting paid and so forth. If it was just simply like we would go into a farmer's or State Farm or what we Allstate Driving Claims Center, there would be obviously one price. And, of course, those body shops are doing high turnaround for the public. But because they're doing a contractual situation for the city, they feel like they've been, you know, damaged to some great degree. And then as they've followed the rules and they feel like they've been a partner with the city, they feel like the city has changed the rules in the middle of the game, and now the city is wanting to lower the bid prices and save money, which obviously I'm all for that. But his attitude, I think, was that hard to do that when you can't get a steady stream of cars into the shop, can't get the appropriate replacement parts, and yet at the same time trying to get paid on time. I do think we're talking to some other council people and speaking with certain city administrators of that situation is improving. But, again, I want to make sure that we're apples and apples, level playing field, what we're calling upon contractors to do. And I should point out that my dad was a job shop contractor and dealt with large companies in the aerospace industry, and I get all that. But if we're going to ask our people to do things with and the best price, then we also have an obligation back to them. And that's where we really need to make sure we get this system, tweak that system, yeah, save the money, make sure it's done in an efficient, inexpensive way, but at the same time, make sure our contractors being treated fairly. And that's what I would say. And I would like the city to respond to that viewpoint that Martin is basically bringing to us. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. We move now. Excuse me a minute. We're going to go to 75, 76, and 77 will be considered collectively at the request of Mayor Pro Tem Atkins. Item number 75 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a TH1A townhouse district with deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on property south of May Hall Street along the west line of Spark Street, and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant. Agenda item number 76 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a TH1A townhouse district with deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on property south of May Hall Street between North Denley Drive and Spark Street, and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant. Item number 77 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a TH1A townhouse district with deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on property north of May Hall Street between North Denley Drive and Spark Street, and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant. These items were corrected on the addendum to clarify that the items were designated zoning cases and would require 2 seconds.
Mr. Mayor, we sent more than 50 notices to property owners within 200 feet of each of these requests. We received 4 replies in favor and 4 in opposition.
Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the items? Any speakers in favor? We have an individual coming forward. Sir, you're allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record.
Dick LeBlanc, representing Texas Heavenly Homes, 3001 Knox Street, Dallas, Texas. Got a little, if we can figure out how to work this.
We're seeking clarification.
While they're working that out, I'll just get started.
Why don't you speak, yeah, and then we'll look at the pictures later if we need to.
Okay, go ahead. Good. Okay. Texas Heavenly Homes has been buying lots down in the area known as the Bottoms, which is the low area just north of Townview High School, for 10 years. The idea was to try to buy, and Texas Heavenly Homes owns 112 lots down in that neighborhood now. The idea was to get enough critical mass together where we could try to make something happen. So we're before you today, and master planning has been going on down in the Bottom as well for this long period of time, and it's still going on. We have some homeowners who would like a house to be built now, and this zoning request is for that, where we can get going on a couple of homes on people that come forward and say they want a home built. So the zoning request for townhouse with deed restrictions allows us to build these single-family houses that may be in your packet. I don't know. represented the homes that we want to build. So the restrictions, these are small lots down here. These are big lot is 50 feet wide, and the depths are normally 100 feet deep, and that is pretty limiting dimensionally on what you can do on a lot. So we're asking for townhouse zoning and putting restrictions on that townhouse zoning where a townhouse couldn't be built. In essence, what can be built is a single-family house. So the restrictions are that there would be five-yard setbacks on the sides and on the rear. There would be a 20-foot setback on the front, where we could encroach that by 8 feet if there was a porch on the front of some of these houses, which there will be. 30-foot height limitation, and then a lot coverage of 60% versus 45%. The reason for that is many homeowners really want their master bedroom on the ground floor these days, if you can make it happen, and it's very hard to do that on this size lot with 45% coverage. That's the essence of what we're trying to accomplish and the essence of what the request is. And I'll be glad to try to answer any questions anyone may have.
I just have – oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say Walter Damon, my partner's here as well, and he's happy to answer any questions as well.
The only question I have is my staff is, can we see these pictures? Sure would be nice. We got wrong.
Can't. Got it. Okay. It's not going to work. Thanks. That's all I need to know.
Why don't you do that?
Okay. You're speaking to the houses that we want to build.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah.
And this would be representative of that. And I'll just, I've got.
Thanks. You can give it to Mr. Allen. He can kind of pass it down the row.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr.
Thank Lamont. You.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the items? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Caraway.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. And they will pass out what that, Mr. Blunt, y'all right. Just settle down. Y'all just pass those on out and let them see what we're talking about. Let me say this is a project long awaited and needed in the bottom. The bottom is one of the first areas of Oak Cliff. It's down where Golden Gate Baptist Church is. All right, so it's across from the Colorado I-35 area, so we can kind of identify the bottom there. You know, when you look at it and you see what has been recommended, it transformed the neighborhood. You're talking about growing south, buddy. It's growing south. Now I got in the car with Mr. LeBlanc, and he took me to another project of his. And the houses that I saw that had been developed, they were just beautiful. Now, these houses are going to be the same type of houses, but just on a smaller scale, because we were looking at some houses, Mayor, that were like 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 square feet. But it's the same type of development that has been long needed and awaited in the bottom that's going to take place. So I'm thoroughly enthused about it. Let me just say, Ms. Davis, this particular area has been tossed like a salad because at one point it was in my district. Through redistricting, it went to Ms. Davis and Leo Cheney's district, and now it's back into my district, and so I welcome it. And I want to take this opportunity to thank you, Mr. LeBlanc. And I know that you're going to do a great job there. And I'm going to continue to look forward in the transformation of the bottom. You're bringing great things to it, and great things are going to happen. Families are going to be there. And with these types of houses, I would encourage folks to begin to take a look, because you're only 3 minutes from downtown. And maybe not even 3 minutes. It's probably just 2 minutes, because you can pop right up on the new Colorado exit and jump right off downtown here. So I want to move at this particular time. I want to move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Plan Commission.
Second. Right. We got a motion and a second.
Mr. Mayor, we need 2 seconds.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Caraway. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was just going to echo some of what Mr. Caraway said. I'm down in the bottoms
maybe once a month or something. The bottom, sorry. One of the great things about that neighborhood, location is fantastic. And I can remember when I was very first started practicing law, I had a deposition down there at an elderly woman's house who couldn't leave, so we went to her. And it was not a very nice neighborhood. It had some real problems. And the promise of that place, I think, is just fantastic. It's so close to downtown. It's got DART access. It's got trail access. It has better trail access than any neighborhood in my district. It's going to absolutely be the way to get into the Trinity River Basin to be able to bike down there. And it's just beautiful. That's where I was commenting the other day that I'd been down to Eloise Lundy Recreation Center, and it's just packed with people. It's just a fantastic place. And I cannot wait to see what happens there. I think that is doing that transit stuff down there and making life, doing those quality of life improvements, I think is really about to turn that neighborhood around.
It is. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Atkins.
Again, Mr. Caraway, Ms. Davis, it's great to talk about the bottom on a good note. I know for many times, we're talking about how we have vacant lots and houses that we need to tear down. You think about the bottom, but you also forget about Townview. Townview is right on the top of the hill of the bottom. You know, Townview School is there. And it's also the gateway to downtown. And people don't realize how close the landscape and for you to come out there and start building townhomes in that area. And I think in a very, very long time, Mr. Caraway is someone who came out there and started building townhomes in that area. If you haven't been there, colleagues, if you look at all the infrastructure change around Colorado and right there at 8th Street and 35, and you see Townview, you see there's a great landscape overlooking the Trinity River. And like Ms. Kingston said, the trails. The trail going to be an ideal nature to walk and to see the scenery there. But Mary, you know, talking about Grove South, I mean, that's Grove South right there with a heartbeat. I mean, it's really growing and the house is right priced, so therefore it's a working community who could even walk a bike to work to downtown. So that's another great thing.
Thank you very much, Ms. Grayson.
I can't see the gentleman, but this is nice. This looks really nice, so thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson. I'll ask a couple of questions if you don't mind, okay? First of all, ditto everything that everybody said. So thank you. Give us a perspective. How much money have you put into this project thus far, your capital?
Over $1 million.
Okay, so you put $1 million in. How many homes do you think you want to get up there?
Well, we have, as I mentioned, several lots.
Yeah.
Many of them need to be replatted because they're
right.
due.
When the whole project gets done.
The whole project, there must be 350 lots down there. And so we have about a third of it or something like that, a quarter to a third. I would guess that in the whole area, whether we own the lots or we don't, there could be a couple of hundred homes down there at least.
But you can be a portion of the couple of hundred homes,
yes.
If that's what you're shooting for. And the price point for these homes?
We're not aiming at entry level per se. We're going to be aiming at, say, $140,000 up through the low twos.
Great. Great. So some real value, and you've got a pretty good return once you put your elbow grease into it on that as a developer.
My main business is master plan communities that I do in the Hanover Property Company that does in the suburbs. And so for me, this is not necessarily a real estate project. This is trying to grow south.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. This is great and great news. And when do we what's the next step? We got to get all this replatted?
There's some planning pending, yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you for your leadership, Mr. Caraway. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you.
Fabulous.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, would you please clarify who made the seconds?
And Mr. Kingston.
Thank you very much. Item number 78 is a public hearing regarding a City Plan Commission authorized hearing to determine proper zoning on property generally bounded by an alley between 10th Street and Sunset Avenue and Jefferson Boulevard on the north, Beckley Avenue on the east, an alley between Page Avenue and 12th Street on the south, an alley between Polk Street and Willow May Avenue on the west, and the southwest corner between South Tyler Street northbound and Polk Street south, and an ordinance granting the amendment.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 607 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area of request. We received 55 replies in favor and 19 in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? We have a couple of individuals coming forward. You are allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please notice the timer at the podium. State your name and address for the record, as well as address your comments to Mayor Rawlings, please. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Jim Lake, Jr. I've got a redevelopment project underway right now, the Jefferson Tower Project, 351 West Jefferson. I'm representing the steering committee. Councilwoman Hasso appointed me, along with many others, have been working on this project for 3 years now. And this is really, it's really a big piece of the Mayor's Grow South initiative. And it's hugely important, I think, that you pair, when you do these plan developments, and you can see the impact of them, you can see what we did in Bishop Arts. Back when we got that zoning changed in 2010, you can see what happened on Davis when we got the Bishop Davis zoning finished up in 2010, just drive down Davis Street. So I'm proud to say, Mayor, that as soon as you guys approve this, that we'll be able to open Small Brew, Brew Pub on Jefferson Boulevard by the end of September. And strongly support this effort and what's coming. I think before the end of the year, that's just as impactful will be the Oak Cliff Gateway. I think, anyway, we need to see that 800-acre rezoning move forward. And thank you for your support, Councilman Griggs. Thanks.
Next speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Lake.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My name is Eliseo Ruiz. I live at 214 South Willamette Avenue. My house abuts the subject area without even an alley. When my neighbors and I heard about the proposed rezoning, we thought about it very positively. We think it's an important and thoughtful step for the development and growth of Oak Cliff. We only had some concerns that the zoning be respectful of the residential districts around the area. We submitted our concerns to city staff and council member Griggs. They largely turned on height restrictions in the areas abutting the residential district. Limiting some of the sub-uses, the uses in sub-area 5, again, to be more respectful of residences. In particular, a building at 1005 Jefferson, which is Winnetka Place, a 4 or 5-story office tower, which has been a very good neighbor to us as an office building. We want it to remain used as an office building in sub-area 5 as opposed to sub-area 1, which would allow for more uses that might be inconsistent with a building that size that is directly next to residences. And finally, we had some concerns about some density in the multifamily allowance for sub-area 5 and lot coverage. But subject to those concerns, which we relayed to city staff, we very much support this zoning case.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in favor? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I entertain a motion. Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by CPC with the following changes in the ordinance to come back to the council. In sub-areas 1 and 2, 1, a commercial amusement inside is allowed by right if located above the 7th story. 2, side and rear yard setbacks adjacent to or directly across an alley from a residential district must be a minimum of 15 feet. And creating a sub-area 8 in an area along Jefferson Boulevard west of Polk Street, subject to conditions similar to sub-district 1, including a maximum height of 36 feet.
Second. A motion is second. Any discussion, Ms. Griggs?
Well, it's time.
Let's do it.
And it's exciting time for Jefferson. This is really going to help
continue the revitalization of Jefferson with the great neighborhoods like Winnetka Heights we have in the area, and with everything that Jim Lake and others are bringing to the area. So this is the time to make it happen, to return Jefferson to its great glory as one of the premier main streets in the city of Dallas. So it's with great pleasure today that I ask you for the support in the zoning case that completes the work of a steering committee of over 3 years and my predecessor work, Delia Hasso. Her work was greatly appreciated. And let's make it happen and keep Oak Cliff growing. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Atkins.
Yes, Scott, it's been great work that you have done. Before then, I just want to thank Bob Stimson and the previous council members who did look at South Dallas Development Corporation. A whole lot of people probably do not realize what the South Dallas Development Corporation done. Back then, you know, the city of Dallas had money to put in the Jefferson Tower building. For many, many years, it just stayed dormant. I mean, nothing was going on. I mean, it was just kind of just flat there, you know. Scott, with your with a private developer like Jim Lake coming forward to look at, to take on, and it's great, Mayor, to have a developer who never came to the city of Dallas and asked for 1 cent. And all of a sudden, he came, and he's doing a great project. If you have not been on Jefferson lately, go by there. I mean, the thing has changed. It's going to be a walkable neighborhood. Not only walkable, you can live there, you can entertain there, you can work there, you can do everything there without a car. And also right next to the streetcar, you know. So it's great to have that addition and economic engine operated there. Thank you again, Jim.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. So when is the being able to buy a beer in Jefferson? All right. Thank you. All right, next item.
Yeah, I'll buy the first round if
okay,
you guys come out.
Thank you. Can you get it from Four Corners? They're brewing right there. All right, go ahead.
Mr. Mayor, I've just been informed that agenda item number 54 was incorrectly posted and therefore will not be considered to have been adopted as part of the consent agenda this morning, and it will be brought back for consideration on September 10. We now move to agenda item number 79. A public hearing and an ordinance granting a planned development district for MU2 mixed-use district uses on property generally on the northwest line of Manor Way between Maple Avenue and Denton Drive.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 57 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 5 replies in favor and 3 in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor. The item does require 2 seconds.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Medrano.
All right. Thank you, Mayor. I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Plan Commission with the following changes. Multifamily uses are only allowed on portions of the property located within a day-night average DNL sound level contour of 60 dBA or less, as shown on the airport noise map at the time of development plan is submitted for approval by the City Plan Commission. The area with the day-night average sound level contour of 60 dBA or less must be shown on the development plan. Number 2, maximum structure height is 65 feet. The following structures may project a maximum of 12 feet above the maximum structure height. Elevator penthouse or bulkhead, mechanical equipment room, cooling tower, tank designed to hold liquids, visual screens which surround roof-mounted mechanical equipment, chimney and vent stacks, parapet wall, limited to a height of 4 feet.
Hey, do we have a second?
Second.
A discussion?
2 seconds.
Mr. Medrano?
I want. Yeah, I'm going. Before, did you want to say something before? Or?
Yes, well, I would like to speak.
Can we go ahead?
Well, we had our speakers.
I know, but I thought you were asking for people who are opposed, and I
got
not.
It. Got so it. Please. Come on, speak up.
I've been sitting here too long. Mayor Rawlings, members of the Dallas City Council. My name is Pat White. I live at 4714 Wildwood Road in Bluffview. Today I'm here speaking for Lovefield Citizens Action Committee, whose purpose since our founding in 1980 has been to represent the interests of the neighborhoods that surround Lovefield. We want to thank Councilmember Adam Medrano for his leadership in this difficult case. Since you last saw this request, there are 2 significant changes to the proposed plan development ordinance. 1, as amended for the first time in the city of Dallas, the FAA guideline that residential development is not compatible above the 60 DNL noise contour is being codified. Two, the overall height is limited to 65 feet, which gives the applicant the flexibility to build what they say they want, while being careful to contain height in the direct path of the Trinity departure. Thanks to Councilmember Medrano, this ordinance now matches the narrative of the request. We have a win-win for the applicant and the public interest. Thank you.
And thank you for coming down. Thank you. So we've got a motion. We've got a second. You've spoken. Do you want to keep talking?
Yeah, I do.
Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to thank the Loveville Citizens Action Committee for working with me and also my colleague Jennifer Gates for helping out with this as well, and the applicant for working with all of us. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Mr. Kingston.
I just wanted to thank Pat White for all her work with the neighbors, and I know that Adam and Jennifer did a really good job with this case. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 80 is a public hearing on the proposed fiscal year 2014-15 operating capital and grant trust budgets. We do have 11 individuals registered to speak, Mr. Mayor.
Please.
Individuals will be allowed 3 minutes to speak.
Oh, excuse me.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to ask for 81 before we hear the public speakers.
81?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to hold on to item 80 for right now. Agenda item number 81 is a public hearing on a proposed municipal setting designation to prohibit the use of groundwater as potable water beneath property owned by POTA JV LLC and Inland American Lodging Dallas Pearl Limited Partnership, an Illinois Limited Partnership located at 600, 650, and 700 North Pearl Street and adjacent street rights-of-way, and an ordinance authorizing support of the issuance of a municipal setting designation. I'm required to read the following statement into the record. Pursuant to Section 51A-6.108G F, 3 of the Dallas Development Code, the applicant or licensed representative of the applicant who is familiar with the application must be present and available to answer questions. Will that individual please come forward to the podium and identify yourself? State your name and address for the record, please. Thank you.
My name is Sam Johnson. Address is 1900 Diplomat Drive, Farmers Branch. I'm here to speak on behalf of the applicant or answer your questions.
Thank you, sir. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item? Are there any speakers on the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Kingston.
Move to approve.
Second.
And a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Now we'll go back to the public speakers.
Thank you. Again, agenda item number 80 is a public hearing on the proposed fiscal year 2014-15 operating capital and grant trust budget. Your first speaker is Sylvia Benenson. Sylvia Benenson. Ms. Benenson will be followed by Leslie Smith, Esther Davis, Claire Turner, Jerry Baker, Julie Shar, Patty Clapp, Karen Blumenthal, Kate Park, Richard Sheridan, and Catherine McGovern. Ma'am, please state your name and address for the record, as well as address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. Thank you.
Mayor Rawlings, members of the City Council, I'm Sylvia Benenson. I live at 4181 Mendenhall, Dallas 75244, and I reside in District 13. Today, I am speaking to the City's proposed budget on behalf of the City's Senior Affairs Commission and the Age Council of the Senior Source, Senior Citizens of Greater Dallas. First, I wish to thank the city manager and his staff for supporting most of the programs recommended by both groups. In particular, the increase in funding to expand the highly successful emergency home repair and the medical transportation program for older adults. Both of these work so well and have helped so many people, and we'll be able to help that many more. We do request, however, that the city manager and the council reconsider reinstating utility assistance for indigent older adults. The Light Up Texas Fund, managed by the state, has been phased out and will be depleted by the end of the next year. The number of calls that the city senior affairs department and 211 receive requesting heat and air traditionally are at the top of the list. There are more calls than they can even respond to. And secondly, we ask that funding for dental health for the elderly be increased to $200,000. Dental health is a most serious issue, and Medicare does not cover any of the costs, as all of us 65 and older are well aware. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Your next speaker.
Mr. Kleinman.
Thank you for coming down, Syl, and speaking to us over here. Syl has been a very active member in our community for years and years, and has now worked with my mother and father on a number of projects. So thank you for being here, and your compassion and your interest in senior support is much appreciated, and we'll definitely take that into consideration, especially considering that the utility support coming from the state is basically drawing up. So we'll need to look to figure out how to fill that gap. But thank you for coming and being here. Appreciate it.
Tell Mayor Harrison.
Hi.
Thank you.
Mayor.
Please. Oh, I'm sorry, Ms. Gates.
Well, I'll just ditto exactly what Lee said. And thank you, Syl. You're a wonderful representative of District 13. So you've been working hard a lot. I've asked you before why you never ran for city council. I still haven't got a good answer. I still think it should be in your future. But thank you for being a wonderful advocate and representative of mine.
Thank you. Your next speaker is Leslie Smith. Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay. Ms. Grayson, please proceed.
Please, Ms. Grayson.
Syl, I just wanted to say ditto.
Here you go.
Your next speaker is Leslie Smith.
Good afternoon. My name is Leslie Smith, and I reside at 6965 Aspen Creek Lane in Dallas, Texas, and I am here today to support the Dallas Animal Services. One question, how many of you have personally toured the shelter in the past 6 months? Excellent. Well, I did an in-depth tour this past week, so let me be your eyes and ears for a moment, please. The attached photos are representative of what I actually saw at the facility. It's obvious the building, the grounds, the kennels, the vehicles, medical, and other equipment are in need of repairs or replacement. The facility is showing its age and many deferred issues. Some of the pictures I'm sharing with you, the artificial turf has large rips that pose trip hazards. The screen overhangs are ripped. Multiple water-stained roof tiles, including areas with mold. There's a lot of, I think there's a lot of roof leaks going on. There's leaking pipes. The door locks, certain door locks aren't working, and they're having to basically rig during the day while they're working, putting something down just to keep the door from closing because they can't open one of the doors. There's inoperable light fixtures, the need for industrial washers and dryers. I also met with many, many of the Dallas Animal Shelter employees. That includes vets, vet technicians, code compliance officers, supervisors, and front and back office employees. I asked each of them what was most important for them with this upcoming budget. Guess what everyone said? We need more help. We need more employees. What that, without a doubt, is what is most important for their needs. Now let's talk about a few statistics. Adoptions are up from 12.7% or 1,500 animals in 2007 to 6,866 or 44% in 2013. That's a 31% increase over the past 7 years. The economic impact of the 6,800 adoptions generated over $6.8 million last year. The current DAS budget is 0.6% of the city's overall budget. However, three of the top 10 citizen requests for city services are animal-related concerns. To me, something seems very out of whack. The shelter also relies on rescue groups, volunteers, and grant programs to provide needed services and resources to assist the city's efforts. Let's continue fulfilling our vision of having a no-kill shelter like other progressive cities in the nation, such as Austin and Seattle. Please scrub the budget. Please, please look at the budget. Scrub it down. Find that weekly Starbucks that we can give up and approve the additional $900,000 that is so desperately needed to make this vision a reality. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next speaker, Esther Davis. Esther Davis. Ms. Davis will be followed by Claire Turner, Jerry Baker, Julie Schar, Patty Clack, Karen Blumenthal.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
To the City Council, thank you for this time and this opportunity. I am Esther Davis. My address is 2204 Millerboro Street, Dallas 75216. Mr. Carraway is not present at the moment, but I do want to thank him in his absence for meeting with some of the seniors a couple of weeks ago about the senior budget. And a couple of things I just want to remind you of. I was chair of senior affairs for 8 years in this wonderful city. And we're still getting calls about the utilities, our seniors and their utilities. And we're going to ask you to please, please do whatever you possibly can to get the utility budget in line and above that line if you can. Secondly, it's been mentioned already about the dental health and home repairs, because we want our seniors to stay in their homes. And we want their homes to be up to code and up to par. When I was chair of senior affairs, I reminded the council every time I spoke that at the time, for the next 10 years, there was going to be an American turning 65. Well, now I can remind you that there will be an American turning 65 every day to the tune of 10,000 for the next 8 years. So our country is recognizing seniors, and Dallas is a mecca for senior living. So whatever you can do with the utilities on digital, on health, on home repairs, transportation, and utilities, we're going to solicit your favorable attention. Mr. Carraway, thank you again for meeting with the seniors in your office. We know how busy you all are. And finally, TXU, I got this call because I still have host a television show every week. We're getting calls on fees that are attached to TXU. Now, I have not had a chance to check this out, and I don't know what the council's position is on that. But a lot of the seniors are telling me that there are certain fees attached to their bill if they don't pay it a certain date or a certain time. And I want you just to pay close attention to that. And as always, thank you very much.
Thank you. Ms. Alonzo?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Can you share that with our office? As a senior affairs liaison, I want to make sure that we address that concern with TXU. If there's an error, we need to correct it, and if there's something that we can explain to our constituents. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Your next speaker, Claire Turner.
Good afternoon. I'm Claire Turner, 3910 Harry Hines Boulevard. I, too, am here on behalf of seniors. I can't compete with these ladies, but I'm here representing the Senior Source, Senior Citizens of Greater Dallas. But I'm here to speak of the active seniors, those that desperately need to find employment, those that still have some gasoline left in the tank and are low income and are receiving $782 of Social Security a month and need to earn some money. So you all have graciously in the past funded this employment program for seniors. In the last couple of years, it's been in the amount of $88,000, and we greatly appreciate that. What we've been told is that it is in the budget, but at this point, there's not the level of detail that we can see that it's in the budget. So we do ask that you please consider this and make sure that we can continue the senior employment program. These are seniors that not only desperately need the income and are able to find that through this, but they also want to work. They are people that want to be self-sufficient, and they are people that do pump money into the economy when they are employed. So again, we ask that you would please find in the budget space for the senior employment program through the Senior Source in the amount of $88,000 so that we can continue to get these wonderful low-income seniors gainful employment. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Your next speaker, Jerry Baker, and Julie Schar will be following.
My name is Jerry Baker, and my address is 10416 Church Road. I am speaking also as a member of the advocacy group for elders at the Senior Source, a nonprofit agency that has been serving the Greater Dallas community since 1961. Before I present my statement, on a personal note, I would like to thank Mayor Rawlings and his wife for worshiping last Sunday with the Wilshire Baptist Church in celebration of George Mason's 25th anniversary as our senior pastor. Mayor Rawlings and council members, I first want to thank the council for thinking of seniors in crafting the proposed budget, especially in the areas of senior employment assistance and emergency home repair. I am requesting that the council's attention be focused on three other crushing needs of the older adult population, Office of Senior Services. I am a City of Dallas retiree and a 36-year resident of Lake Highlands. Gerontologists call that aging in place. The mission statement of the Office of Senior Affairs reads, to help seniors in the community to maintain the highest quality of life possible. The staff to establish this mission has been greatly reduced to only 3 employees. The addition of 1 staff member would significantly affect the ability of this office to respond more efficiently to the numerous requests for assistance. Utility assistance. The number one call at 211 or social service agencies is for utility assistance. This summer, 85% of the money the state of Texas designated for Light Up Texas will have been expended. By the end of summer 2015, another 15% will be expended. And by the end of the summer of 2016, the fund will be exhausted. Obviously, this means that many Dallas elderly will be without financial assistance and will suffer through the 100-plus degree days of a typical Dallas summer. Your help is needed. Worthy use of leisure time. Finally, as a member of the Friends of the Dallas Public Library, I must add my voice to the cry for to open libraries and to unlock potential. The older adult population constitutes a major library user group, and they depend upon the library to enhance their quality of life. Thank you.
Your next speaker is Julie Shar.
I'm Julie Shar, resident of District 9 on 6834 Chantilly Lane in Dallas. I come in two capacities today. One is as a member of the around 10% estimated number of people above the age of 64 in Dallas, the population being about 1.56 million, and so there are about 155,000 elderly here above the age of 64. I also come as a senior affairs commission representative for District 9, the appointee of Mr. Cadane, and I'm fairly new to it, so I'm getting acquainted with reading the budget. I'm looking at page 130 of the budget, and it describes the community senior services there, which is under the focus area 3, clean and healthy environment. And it describes the services there at the top. But the only thing I find in the budget is this proposed budget line item details, which is for personnel services. And I understand that it takes people to implement the projects and the services. But is there any place in the budget where it says what the services are, other than at the top of page 130. I think that description needs to be revised to include what we proposed to the city. Particularly, it says child care services. Now, that's not usually people over 64 that need child care services unless it's grandparents. So I think that needs to be specified. And I don't think that was one of the items that we recommended. Also, so thank you for this awesome document that has come to this point and the services that you have provided. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming down.
Patty Clapp.
Mayor, could I speak?
They're back.
Oh.
Oh, wait, Mr. Cadane wants to say something first.
I just wanted to thank you, Ms. Shar, for being down, and thank you for being on that board and what you're doing. You'll make a big difference. Thank you very much.
Patty Clapp.
Hello, I'm Sing Wan, Patty Clapp. I live at 9418 Trail Hill in District 10. This is my partner, Sing 2, Karen Blumenthal, who lives at 9702 Vista View, again in District 10. Hello, City Council. We're Thing 1 and Thing 2, and we're glad to be back to visit with you.
You're opening libraries. You've heard us. We're giddy. Sunday and Monday hours for parents and kiddies.
We're grateful. Believe us. But we need so much more. We asked for $10 million, and we're sorry to bore.
But our branches lack copiers. We need laptops for classes. Our book wagons are dying. We can't reach the masses.
You're trying, we know, but after so much budget slashing, our library dreams and reality are sadly clashing.
But Thing One, the Cat in the Hat can fix things like that. Why can't Dallas do something like that?
It's true. The citizens are speaking. It's real democracy. But it turns out there's also real bureaucracy.
But we need programs, ESL, GED, databases, videos. Don't you see? We need to have fun.
I know. But over 2 years, not one, good hiring takes time, ordering two. So here in Bad Rhyme is what we would do. We need $6 million now, $4 million next year, to get our libraries back in gear.
And then, oh, the places will go. There is fun to be done. There are points to be scored. There are games to be won.
Thing two, you're in the wrong book.
But thing one, in our story, we get caught in a net by a cat in a hat and locked in a box with no fox and no socks.
But when our libraries are saved by a little more spending, we can all celebrate a much happier ending. Thank you very much. Thank you all so much.
That's District 10.
Your next.
I got it. Animal Services wants to hire you, and I think Senior Services want to hire you. Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was going to share. I know you were talking about the library, and that was really good, but I think we should also talk about the arts, because that's where it's all at.
Mr. Kleinman.
Thank you, Thing One, and thank you, Thing Two. We appreciate being constantly reminded by you. Serving our citizens is key to success, so support for our libraries is definitely our business.
This is an improv group, obviously.
SMU guy.
Next speaker.
Your next speaker, Kate Park.
There are so many amazing acts to follow, and I know that the needs are great. My name is Kate Park. I'm a proud District 1 resident residing at 412 North Oak Cliff Boulevard. I'm the executive director of Friends of the Dallas Public Library. On behalf of the Friends of the Dallas Public Library, I would like to say thank you. Thank you for making our library system a priority for this and future budget cycles. Thank you for listening to our concerns, for all of your hard work and your dedication to building and overseeing this budget. We also offer our humble gratitude to the hardworking Dallas Public Library staff who kept our libraries open and served citizens to the best of their abilities through many years of cuts and deprivation. And thank you to our branch friends groups, the Municipal Library Board, and all of our advocates and library supporters. We have carried a message together, and you, as our elected officials, you've heard us. 2015 promises to be a positive year for the DPL with the return of 96 full-time positions to the staff roster. 2015 is also the Friends of the Dallas Public Library's 65th year. In that time, we've provided $44 million of support to the library to date, and we will continue to support and advocate for the Dallas Public Library system as one that is ever evolving and changing to best meet the needs of our residents. We are proud that the City Council and the City Management Team are committed to helping the library improve its current state by committing $6 million for additional staff to increase hours over 2 years. This infusion will help the DPL begin to breathe again. We heard your concerns yesterday regarding a misalignment or perhaps a disconnect regarding the requested $6 million from Joe Gadice and the Friends' larger ask for $10 million. Everyone in this room knows our library needs more than hours and materials to survive and to thrive. The Friends stand behind the request for a commitment from this council to continue to increase the library's budget with the aid of a strategic plan to determine the needs of our residents, a vision for our system, and a plan to make these changes and improvements a reality. The library needs stable funding for beneficial programs such as crucial English as second language classes and GED preparation classes. It needs basic technology improvements such as a classroom set of working laptops at each location so we can offer the popular coding classes championed by Mayor Rawlings, led by the Perot Museum at two locations this summer. It was a huge success. It's not something that we can replicate in all of the libraries yet. These are basic, immediate requests that can be filled with additional funding. We know that change takes strategic decision-making, courage, strength, leadership, and vision. These things take time. We are confident the library is ready to grow, evolve, change, and innovate. We look forward to supporting our library system for generations to come, and we are truly grateful for your investments today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next speaker, Richard Sheridan. Mr. Sheridan will be followed by Catherine McGovern.
Good afternoon, Mayor and City Council. I appreciate being here. 11301 Dennis Road, Dallas, Texas. I'm here to represent Dallas's 10,000 homeless children, women, and men, and guided by the good book. It is clear beyond a shadow of a doubt that the city's homeless program is predatory towards the homeless and a complete disaster, with the bridge being a prime example. Ask any police officer and any homeless person, and the majority will agree with that statement. I played a major role with some ministers and homeless advocates in getting the bridge referendum passed, and I've listened to many people over the past 6 years since it opened in 2008. Here's some very disturbing facts, which, supported by a comprehensive investigation, should result in the city's homeless program being turned over to Dallas County, as the county is bearing the well-known 2 to 3 times significant pay later costs in the jail and health care, perhaps as high as $150 million annually, because of the city's abject failure or gross corruption. With the city abandoning its homeless program, taxpayers will save about $4 million annually. The $4 million savings could go to helping the senior citizens, dental care, the needed animal services, the arts programs like TECO, and let's not forget the library. One, the HUD corruption, where A, Dallas is under investigation by HUD for the misappropriation of hundreds of millions to continue segregation instead of following the law and putting the money into an integration-focused affordable housing program. B, Dallas had to return near $1 million because of its corrupted ex-felon reentry program, and its manager may go to prison. The majority of Dallas homeless are not chronically ill, but able-bodied men and women, or battered homeless women with children, sleeping in streets, under bridges, in cars or vans, in abandoned buildings, in and out of cheap motels. The chronically ill represent at most 20% of Dallas's homeless count. NDHA totally misrepresents the total homeless count. Instead of the realistic total count of 10,000, NDHA reports the homeless count in 2012 and 2013 of 3,000. NDHA does this to look good by diminishing the homeless count to a level where Dallas citizens will believe that they are doing a good job. The bridge facilitates bad behavior, with the drug addicts temporarily leaving each month when the government checks come in, going on drug binges, and then returning a few days later when the money runs out, and the bridge welcomes them back as they look forward to the federal and state government money for every homeless person they brand and keep in the bridge's grease pit. The bridge punishes working men by not adjusting the entry schedule according to their work schedule needs. Men like M.M., Ricky Anderson, Doc Bell, Paul Paul Turner, and many others have not been denied a safe shelter for the night because they arrived late because of their work schedule, but their mats were taken from them, putting them back out in the street for days or weeks, being put to the bottom of the applicant list. I could go on, Mayor. I think the next step should be a lawsuit by the ACLU or some other agency that can do the right thing.
Thank you.
Your next speaker, Catherine McGovern.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, Madam, ladies and gentlemen of the council. I have asked the assistant there to do me the favor of passing out to each of you a bumper sticker reflecting what I know to be the case, that is that you love our public library system. We all do. What's not to love? But it takes a bit more, and that is $10 million more if we are going to actually open up the library so that our citizens, the users, the taxpayers, can have access to it. As the proposal from the city manager's office now stands, 57% of the branch libraries will continue to be open only 5 days a week for limited hours. Now, in this time that we've all been... I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't introduce myself. I am the president of the Preston Royal Library Friends. My favorite councilwoman, no pain against all the rest of you, is, of course, Ms. Gates. And I am at 4364 Royal Ridge Drive, Dallas. Now, I'm president of the Preston Royal Library Friends, which I think I said. I have been working with other friends groups and the library since we saw the budget, which initially kept us at a flat level, the KSA that our group is in at a flat level. What I have done is I have looked at the chart, which I believe that you all have seen. It's in the budget that you have. If you look at the chart, you will see that we are in the group that's that beautiful bright blue at the top. Now, between 2008 and the present day, we have been essentially defunded, whereas every other section, every other KFA has had their funding increased from where they lost funding in 2008. So even with the 0.2% proposed increase, or the $3.1 million, we are still in a deficit position of 1.1% as it relates to where we were in 2008. The proposed budget doesn't give us equipment, so we get no scanners in most of the libraries, and those that do work are charging 25 cents a page. That's very difficult, but also it is the education source that this city has available to everyone without respect to age. So it should be open and available 7 days a week. You can do this. We have the money this year. Now, some may say that we have, we're asking more than our fair share, but we're not, because our fair share has been subsidizing every other KFA since 2008, and it's our time now, and I see my time is allotted. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Are there any other individuals in the audience that would like to speak on the item? Any other speakers? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. No, we've got an afternoon speaker. Before we do,
motion
just...
Excuse motion me? To close the
hearing. Oh, yeah. Do we have a motion to close the public hearing?
Yeah, so moved. Second.
Second. On this subject, is this on the budget?
No, this is...
Okay, let me speak on the budget first.
On the budget.
Okay. And then just so I'm clear on what we're doing here... on a go-forward basis. So we have a couple of opportunities. Next Wednesday, we will post an item on the open budget, post an item to have any budget questions that need to be finalized at Wednesday's meeting. So if you've got questions or you want to have some comments, please, next Wednesday, we can do that. We want to take some time. I think we've got some time in the morning before we go to our Fair Park Task Force in the afternoon. But then it is your job to do the work and deliver any amendments that you have to the budget by noon on Friday. Okay? September the 5th. Noon on Friday, September the 5th. So we've got our budget. If there's something specific you want to raise and then lower, you put that in amendments, sort of like what Mr. Griggs did before. We post that up. Then on Tuesday is going to be a really pretty brief meeting. We will take those items up. We'll do a straw vote on those. We'll say, A or nay, and we'll kind of get a sense of how the budget is written. So when we come back here, we'll know what budget Mr. Gonzalez needs to be presenting. Tuesday, September 9th is a posted meeting to do budget, but we need to do all our work before that meeting, okay? And then we'll get that all resolved, and I think we can move ahead clearly, all right? So any final questions? I'll go around the horseshoe on Wednesday, post it on Friday, vote on it on Tuesday. And then obviously that won't be the final vote, but that'll give the city manager the direction to put the final in front of us, in front of the horseshoe. Okay? Thank you, Mr. Caraway.
Thank you, Mayor. And I'm glad that everybody is here, because Mr. Callahan has something that he has to do, and we wanted to
Let Ms. Wallace speak. Let Ms. Wallace speak. She's been She's got one speaker in the afternoon speaker.
Then y'all stay here. Whatever y'all do, everybody's good.
I think we got one afternoon speaker, right?
Well, we have one additional open microphone. Donald Payton is not present.
No.
And Juanita Wallace.
No.
Ms. Juanita? Ms. Wallace, you've got the 3 minutes. Thank you.
Can you pass this out, please?
Juanita Wallace, Dallas Branch NAACP President, citizen, and my office is at 1617 Panama, Dallas, Texas, 75215. If wealth inequality is the defining issue of our time, people like John Arnold helped to make it so. You may not know who John Arnold is. He's the leading person that was instigating the Home Rule School. And it is accelerating inequality as we speak by promoting anti-democratic practices. What do I mean by that? No free public schools. That's what he's advocating. But charter district schools. And by the way, the Home Rule missed their deadline August 18th, so it will not be on the ballot for a Home Rule charter this time. Additionally, another democratic practice or anti-democratic practice is no political, social, or civic engagement, trying to buy votes. And you may recall the last election we had Bertha received $120,000. Joyce received $20,000. Joyce won with 65% of votes. So you can't buy votes. People vote. No health opportunities. Our indicted governor refused health care for 1.2 million low-income Texans. A travesty. And then, of course, economic equality. Joblessness or less than minimum wages here in the city of Dallas, making us the very lowest city for incomes. By the way, African Americans in Texas has 11.4% unemployment. Hispanics in Texas has 77% unemployment. Whites have 4.3% unemployment for the last 5 years. It may not come as a surprise that there is a correlation between unemployment and crime, and that joblessness is a major motivator in theft, burglary, violent crimes that have a monetary motivation. I want to commend Chief Brown, D.A. Watkins, for their successes. However, we cannot allow police to kill with impunity. We must demand accountability from the police department, from the DA's office, from the mayor, city council, and a commissioner's court. We must demand training on cultural diversity, psychological testing for those that may have traits of bigotry, investigate citizens or investigate police officers that kill unarmed people. Lastly, we must impose punishment for all, involving firing, fine, jail. And one last thing to our young people that may not be listening or may be listening, when you see police lights turn on your cell phone. We're now researching and gathering data to create a curriculum and a program to help blacks and brown youth stay alive when they're confronted by police officers. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Wallace.
Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I was informed that I didn't take the vote to close the public hearing. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. The public hearing is now, Mr. Carraway.
Mr. Mayor, I was going to turn the hands over to Mr. Callahan. It's his day to do what we need to do, and I'm glad that you all are here so we can all be a part of this fantastic announcement that Mr. Callahan is going to make.
We had a birthday boy.
Young man.
Change mic on.
Reminds me of an old Bob Dylan thing. Oh, I was so much older then, but I'm younger than that now. But anyway, I'm gonna have to tell on him. He turned the big 6-0. He's a big mayor. This is a big city. It's big D, and we have a big cake for him. Sing it.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mayor Rawlings. Happy birthday to you and many more. I will say two things. One, this is it's one of the great gifts of my life to work with such professionals in this city. I appreciate that. And two, this meeting is adjourned.
Meeting adjourned at 2:51.